Last time I played a Civ,
if we must,
Berlin became the capital for Judaism. That was pretty funny.
Should we just have that at the beginning? Should we just have that as the intro?
Okay, we're going to start here. Let's see. Everybody ready?
Beep.
Wait,
beep.
This is my podcast, isn't it?
No, this is mine. You're taking the next...
Oh. Wait, didn't you do it last time?
Yeah, but I've got exams in the weeks after this, so I'm having two in a row, and then you're having two in a row.
Oh, I see.
I see Hatman and Katzman struggling for power.
I thought I
see a divorce that went very badly.
I love that we had this little dispute because of the beeps at the start. We were like, no, I get to do the beeps. No, you get to do the beeps.
Let's do
joint custody. Okay. You get a beep each.
You do the beep, then I do the beep, then you do the third beep again.
Alright, tell you what, I'll read my news and you read your news. Okay,
yeah, we'll
here we go.
Go back and forth.
Beep. That's your cue, you do a beep.
Oh, beep.
Beep. Hello, beep. And I heard that. That was an keep Iranian beep I heard there. Not approving of that. Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. My name is Katzman, and with me today, I have Dodds.
Hey!
Eva Legram from the far-off shores of Gather Your Party.
Hey.
Happy Man.
Hey, yo.
Juju.
Hello.
Ramal.
Hada.
Moogle.
Good evening.
Shawnee.
Hello.
And Zevrex.
Holla.
Holla, holla. Get dollar.
Dollars.
I wonder what that kid's doing now. Probably hollering and getting dollars, actually. So we're going to start with, you're not going to do the top video picks, because we've already had that this month?
No, because next month, some of the games for April have come out already, so we have to do April ones now.
Oh, okay, do that then. Let's go.
Okay, so the top video picks for April are Defiance, which is a like MMO third-person shooter that's a science fiction setting, and it's based on a TV show. Which I didn't know about. There was a beta, which was fairly well received. But I don't know, I didn't play it. It looks alright. Then there's Injustice, which is a DC Universe fighting game. It looks exactly like that Mortal Kombat game that recently came out. I saw it played at some tournament last year, I don't remember when. It looked pretty bad. And then there's Dead Island, Riptide, which is Dead Island 2. When I did research, I found nothing about it that appeared to be different from the first one, so I'm guessing it's just more of the same. Which is fine, I guess, if you enjoyed Dead Island, but a lot of people didn't, so.
So our choices are basically meh, meh, and meh.
Yeah, Defiance. Yeah, it's.
As
we've
it
had that
be.
Before.
Defiance, the third meh is with glitches.
Well, have you ever had a good game on this?
No, that's
we
the
don't
point,
like any modern games. I thought the whole point of this podcast is just for us to spew hatred and bile upon anything that came in our way.
Exactly. Okay, so Defiance, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Dead Island, Riptide. Who wants to? We'll start from the top. Catman.
I'm so indifferent. I'm gonna choose. Okay, I'm gonna choose Dead Island first, and then I'm gonna choose. I've forgotten the others already. I only choose Dead Island because I remember what it was.
Injustice, Gods Among Us, and Defiance.
I'm going to put Defiance last and Injustice second for literally no reason, just randomly.
Dodds.
Does that mean... Okay. Is Defiance on consoles or is it PC only?
It is
multi-platform.
On... Yeah, it is PS3, Xbox, and PC.
Huh, presumably. Okay.
That's all of these. All of these are PS3, Xbox, PC.
Okay, so I can't sort of just say, oh, that's not on console, so that one's going to sell less.
Is Injustice on the PC as well?
Yeah, it is. I think so.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was.
No one cares. PC owners don't buy games. Everyone knows that.
Wait, Injustice yeah, of course, is not pirate everything.
Oh, it isn't. Oh, well, I'm a dumb shit. Sorry.
Don't worry.
Well, I'm going to put Defiance as last, followed by Dead Island, then Injustice.
Oh, Ye's here, everyone. Hello, Ye.
Oh, yay. Hi, Ye. Evil Agram, what's your picks?
I don't know. I'm good with whatever.
You gotta get those internet points. Then.
If you pick which game sells most and which sells least, you'll be in the running for winning a copy of Your Doodles Are Bugged.
Oh, that's what we're competing about?
I want one of those.
Oh, shit, motherfucker.
I still fucking want that.
I don't even know what it is.
Neither do I, but I want
it. You don't have to know what it is. You just have to want it.
I think Defiance on top, then Injustice, then Dead Island, because I think everyone's burnt out on Dead Island after the first one.
Yeah, a lot of people hated Dead Island. I'm going to go with... I think Dead Island will still sell. They had that marketing fiasco, but... I'm going to go with Defiance, Dead Island, and Injustice.
I think I'm going to agree with Happy on that one.
Ramal.
I'm going to go Injustice, Defiance, and Dead Island less.
Sorry, you might be able to hear me playing with my Tangle toy. I do apologize.
Mugglepot, you here?
Yep, I'm around. I will go Injustice at the top. I will go Defiance in the middle, and I will go Dead Island at the bottom.
I agree with the previous statement.
I'm going to go with Injustice on the top, just because I know some people have been freaking out about it, get the game. Dead Island on the bottom, and what were the other two ones? Just put them in any order in the middle. I don't know.
There was only one, but... Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We then, only ever seem to have three games being released.
Yeah, that's what I go for. I guess we could have more, but no more came out this week. There was like... I don't even remember them now.
Oh yeah, like some, a couple podcasts ago, one of them was like Family Game Party.
Yeah, that's how some games, just no games came out. Like, this week there was, like this month there's like Donkey Kong Country 3 on 3DS, but I didn't think that was so hot, so I guess I could put more games. That would be more of a challenge, I guess. I'm going to do that
at least
in
the future. I've heard of Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
Well, Injustice is still pretty big, because the Mortal Kombat still has a really big fan following, so...
For some reason.
Yeah, for
also,
some
it's,
reason.
Also, it's DC, so it's got Superman, Batman, and co. to bolster that license.
Has Superman ever been in a good video game?
Man, Superman 64, are you kidding me?
Of course, yes, Superman 64.
If you want to save your friend, solve my maze, alright?
Okay.
Somewhere Happy will have a shirt with that on it, I just know it.
Okay, so Ye, what's your picks?
I think Ye doesn't realize that he can't...
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Ye, you're completely silent for some reason.
Wizard!
Consult the audio wizard. He will give you guidance. We'll come back to Ye, how about that?
Or just type it in the chat.
Just Morse code. How casual can you guys be?
Oh yeah, Morse code. I don't know any Morse code. Send a telegram.
Or just type it in the chat.
Whatever's cool. No one can know that we do this over Mumble, guys. We'll seem unprofessional.
We're all in the same room. What are you talking about?
Real professionals use TeamSpeak.
Oh, yeah, great. Ventrilo harassment.
Oh, God, ventrilo harassment. Those are the days.
Ventertainment.
I don't remember what that was.
It's similar, like, except good.
Was that the guy who tried to rip off ventrilo harassment but did this exact same thing every single time?
Probably.
And it wasn't funny. I was disappointed. It was no Duke Nukem.
Is there ever going to be another Duke Nukem game now?
Let's hope not.
Yeah, Gearbox have got it, so they'll probably shit something out.
Yeah, they'll probably make a sequel, you'll see. God. Did you guys bet on Duke?
I played the demo of Duke Nukem Forever because I hadn't bet on it, and it was one of the worst first-person shooters I've played in recent memory. Even if it had been released in 2001, it would have been panned for its poor graphics and uninteresting gameplay.
God. I bet everyone who bet on Duke just like lost their houses and families and everything.
Somewhere. Game was bad. I have a picture. It was in the room of computers I used to administrate. That's right. And it was like, the guy's like, everything on Duke, please. And he's pushing a whole bunch of like chips into the middle of a
table in a casino for, like, you know, the one with the spinning circle that I've forgotten. The
roulette wheel.
Roulette. That's, of course. And the next picture is just, like, a homeless guy. It's good.
It's a woman. It's good. I remember it.
Oh, it's a woman. Okay, well,
there
whatever.
There are two versions of the picture.
The point, yeah, let's not go, let's not bring gender into this, Dodds. Come on now.
Anyway, Yay left, so I guess we're done with the top video picks.
Yeah, well, Yay's had technical difficulties.
Next time we will have the results for Tomb Raider BioShock Gears of War. So look forward to that, or don't.
Has anyone else noticed how aggressively everyone is pushing BioShock Infinite pre-orders?
Yeah, I could pre-order it. Give stuff away, please. Just buy it
from
like
Green Man Gaming, and I get like 7 free games and a blowjob, and I'm like, that's too many.
Yeah,
like that's too much. Wait, too much.
In BioShock Infinite, can you die?
No.
They
disabled that feature for convenience.
If you die in the game,
DLC
you die
only.
For real.
Exactly. No, I mean the first one, you can't die.
Yeah, although you can turn that mode on. Weren't they saying that they were going to have some kind of mode that was retro style?
Yeah, 1999 mode.
Yeah, but only if you complete
it. You have to beat the game to unlock it, which seems kind of pointless.
What, so when you die, the bosses still have the same health. You can just go back and like ram your head at them.
BioShock was never about the challenge, Happy Man.
BioShock was never about the bosses.
I don't like games where you can't die. Sorry.
BioShock was never about fun.
I play games on
video
easy
games
because
are not
I
a
want
lot of
to
fun.
Have fun with them, Happy Man. How does that make you feel?
No fun allowed.
I don't really care that much. I just don't like playing those games myself.
BioShock
too
was
deep
art.
For Happy.
Yeah, you still can't talk.
Yeah, real
I'm
deep.
Sorry. I don't know what's going on.
Enemies are still dead after you die and come back.
Too positive for Happy.
Yeah, this is the positive podcast, Happy Man.
God, I'm already grumping out.
Put your positive hat on. go sit in the positive chair for a while.
So, in other news, the BioShock Infinite ending got leaked. Any comments on that?
No.
I'd like to keep this spoiler-free, because
I don't care.
Intend.
Go.
I care.
You tend to
play it and bitch about it, Kat. Is that what we do? You tend to play it and then bitch about it.
I played the first BioShock is one of the only games from this generation that held my interest until 3/4 of the way through when I got bored.
I really enjoyed it.
I didn't even get to the plot twist in the first BioShock. I don't even know what it is.
You don't even know what's so great about it.
Would you kindly?
The spoiler is that the city's under the sea.
Really? No! I just saw that coming.
Is it working now?
That would actually be a pretty cool twist in the game. Like, you've been underwater all along.
That would be stupid as shit. Are you kidding me?
No, that'd be great.
What,
Shut
you just
up.
Go along and find, like, the edge of a great tank, like, in the middle of the sea, and there's just, like, clouds painted onto the side of it, like...
Truman Show.
People would be so fucking annoyed if
Dude,
that was
be
the
great.
Twist.
Especially after all that effort they put into the water effects. That game had some nice sump. Nice sump?
Nice really
water
nice
effects.
Sump? What?
My brain's on slow-mo today. Leave me
He's
alone.
He's been like this all day.
Well, isn't Dotsky like that all the time?
Oh, yeah.
That's beside the point.
I hear that the best way to get a job is to go to the interviewer's house and take a shit in their toilet.
What?
That's something Dodds said.
Oh, I love Dunskipedia.
Anyway.
Ow, please.
News time.
Time for the news. I'll go first. Kawhi has come to Call of Duty. Heavens be praised. As of just over a week ago, you're now able to purchase the Black Ops 2 Kawhi pack, which comes loaded with Kawhi-themed weapon skins, 3 uniquely shaped reticles, and an all-new calling card by which your enemies can remember you and your presumed Kawhi-ness. So, what do you think the reticles are shaped like?
Cats?
It'll be something
okay.
really cute.
Little girls.
Dicks?
I'm imagining Hello Kitty and stuff like that.
I think I actually saw this.
Yeah,
Hexler, dog boys.
Hexler talked to me about it. He thought it was the greatest thing.
Of course, Hexler talked to you about it.
Yeah, Hexler plays Blops 2. He'll have bought this if I know
Hexler. I play Blops 2 as well, but I'm not going to be purchasing any of those packs.
Hexler is a whore for that kind of thing. A massive whore.
Really?
I hope he listens to this and hears me calling him a massive whore. I don't really.
I call him a massive whore every day. I can forward the message to you, Katz.
You call everyone a massive whore every day.
That's beside the point.
So is Call of Duty trying to get Koreans out of StarCraft or something?
No, it's just they're customizable. What's the word I'm looking for? Cosmetics, essentially. They're all cosmetic DLC. It's what they're trying to do. They've seen mini transactions and microtransactions even, and the effect they have on people, and they've decided they want in on it. At last, it only took them 4 years.
Buy our shit. It's different color.
We want the Japanese audience.
Well, they already had two Japanese. No, one was Japanese, one was Chinese themed camo unlocks anyway in the game. So it doesn't really surprise me that they've gone for that.
What kind of camo? Like a samurai or?
One of them was like the old. What do they call them? The old Japanese. Not watercolors. What are they?
Fucking calligraphy.
Calligraphy. That kind of style. Image of samurai.
No,
the type of thing that you see in Shogun 2, essentially. And the
I'm
other one
forgetting
was,
the name too.
The other one was Chinese pictograms on a red background. So yeah, they've had them for a while. That sort of thing. But yeah, also they had cherry blossoms on one, so that was the other one, and that's the pink camo that you get to annoy people who play the game seriously. That's what I do.
Ukiyo, that's it, Ukiyo.
Okay, yeah, that would be the one.
I think.
You know what this reminds me of? If you've ever seen that picture from some online forum somewhere where someone's bought, like, you know, a rare and mildly valuable World War II era rifle of some kind.
Oh, God.
And they painted over it with My Little Pony with, like, some sort of, like, a picture of a pony and some sort of, like, attitude-filled... And, like, they literally ruined... A relic of another time.
Played a time machine.
Dash is the best pony.
Played a time machine. Go back to World War II times and tell that serviceman who had that rifle in the future. Someone's going to buy a rifle and they're going to put a pony on it and like paint
or,
it pink or
take
whatever.
The rifle back in time and insists that he fight the war with that.
Put him in
like a forest. And it's bright blue, and yeah, I think he'll do quite well.
You don't have to be, like, you don't have to be camouflaged in war. The important part of war is letting everyone know that you
How
watch
awesome you
My
are.
Little Pony. Happy Man, you should do your news now.
It's not about winning
the
war.
Oh yeah, my first piece of news is SimCity.
Oh, SimCity.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so EA released SimCity, and nobody could play it. Because all the servers broke.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people buying it. And so they went online for quite a while. Like, just now, like a couple of weeks ago, EA started, like, taking down their servers and putting them up and, like, upgrading them. Mm-hmm. And, like, putting them back up just so it would work. Like, the servers were online for, I think, several weeks after release. Offline, several weeks after release, which... It's, like, incredible to me. And
I actually have this. The servers were never fully offline, but they were always full to capacity, so you could never log in, usually.
Yeah.
You had to wait 20 minutes between each login attempt, and it would sometimes fail even then, after waiting 20 minutes. And then they had to disable quite a lot of functionality to make it work. So they had to disable the fastest speed in the game, so cheater speed it was always called, because essentially that doubled the amount of calls that the game made to the server. And once people did it, it doubled absolutely everything they were experiencing in terms of load. So they had to do that.
Fucking morons.
It then turns out that they're what they call the agent simulation. So the way that they simulate things going in through the world is absolutely broken as well. So you have the absurd instance of sewage going under the road in pipes, because everything is done by the roads, being stuck in traffic, essentially, because there are cars on the road. And there's all sorts of really bad stuff going on with it, with pathfinding, because everything takes the shortest path it can to a destination, regardless of the capacity of that road. So if you have, like, a highway running next to a dirt road, which is one really slow, one lane, It will take the dirt road if it's shorter, and it will completely ignore the freeway, completely ignore it, so you just have traffic backed up on the dirt road.
Oh, so but that's just like the simplest pathfinding algorithm in the world?
There's no waiting whatsoever done to it. And there's all sorts of other stuff. Did anyone here actually ever play the original SimCities?
I did.
Fucking yeah. Love the original
Super Nintendo.
I got SimCity with an Easter egg. Not lying. And it was like the Windows 95 version. It had those silly little cutscenes with like the news anchor lady who'd tell you what's going on in the city. It was great.
Okay, get this. You can build a city, an entire city with only residential area, and
I saw
it
that
will
too.
Expand. It will expand and thrive. Just residential. Because what you do is you put residential and you put parks in to increase the land value. The increased land value means that the citizens are happy, thus they will expand and continue to grow.
Brilliant.
It's absolutely fantastic the way that they've managed to cock the game up. And only 10% of the population of each city is simulated.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a thing. It reports that there's like 10 times the number of people that there actually is.
And then
through a JavaScript function called get fudged population number.
Oh, God. The best thing about that is if you have, say, a power station, apparently the way that the power station works is that as you increase in population, the amount of people that work in that power station grows. So if you delete a building when there are people working in it, it also deletes the people that work in it. But it doesn't delete the 90% of people that 10% represented, if that makes sense. So you lose your working population, but your non-working population doesn't go down. So you have less people working in your city and just people just sitting around doing nothing. And it's absolutely fantastic the way it works. It's just it's all wrong, and they've cocked it up completely. And I made the mistake of purchasing it.
Could they take any more shortcuts with this game?
No. It feels awfully like it was very rushed. It feels awfully like it was very rushed to meet some arbitrary deadline. That's what it feels like. Whether that's the case,
it was announced ages ago, wasn't it?
I know, this is the thing. But then again, so was Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age 2 was released 2 years before it was released, and it was still under
production. It is produced by EA, remind you.
Maxis have said that all of the decisions regarding the Always Online and everything that there is going on in the game is their responsibility and not EA's, but I can't help that they're saying that like a hostage with like a gun to their head.
It's either that or they are now just EA. It's either that or they are just EA now. And
what, they've caught like the gay from EA. That's it now.
Yeah, that's it. Same as BioWare.
Is there any connection between this new SimCity and Sonic 06?
What?
That would be an interesting one. But no, the game is still playable. I will say that. The game is playable up to a point. There's also stuff like water is a finite resource, so you can run out of water in a region.
What? But
you run out of water, so there is an end game to SimCity.
This is supposed to take place
whether
in modern times.
Whether that's still the case, because that was the case when I played it at launch. I'm waiting until enough patches make it workable before I play it again, because I'm not subjecting myself to that.
Sewage is stopped by traffic. Water is a non-renewable resource.
Yep.
What the fuck is this game on about? Seriously?
Although they've introduced curved roads, you can only zone next to a road. So you can't zone inside, like, a grid. You can only zone next to the road, if that makes
sense.
It's really weird the way that they've made it.
It gets worse. The modders, they went ahead they figured out how to run the game offline, first off.
Yeah.
Next, they figured out that you could edit other people's cities in this offline mode with no restrictions. Like, you can edit areas outside of your own city, outside of the tiny itty-bitty borders they give you, and then you can sync this up to the server and ruin someone else's city.
Yeah.
It's the most disastrous thing.
Yeah. And even that's obviously unintended, but there is an intended thing where essentially you send your sewage to other cities so that they can process it and get rid of it. But you can just send sewage and criminals and stuff like that to other cities. You can ruin other people's games, and it's basically intended that you play that way. And I
the only thing you said that might convince me to try this one, I'll be honest with you.
There's very little to recommend it at the moment. That's my personal opinion.
Man, you guys
on the other hand, if they make the agent simulation work, so the one-to-one of everything and everything going to where it should be and you can watch it, if that all works, eventually, it'll probably be worth it. But at the moment, I really can't honestly, hand on heart, say that it's in any way, shape, or form playable. It just isn't.
You guys did way more research than I did. I just read up about the servers, not the actual game.
Well, I have the sad situation of having actually bought the game, so I figured that I should probably make myself knowledgeable about it. So,
one thing I did read, though.
More fool me.
Apparently, pirates just made it so that you can play it offline, and it works fine.
Yeah, works absolutely fine. The problem is, the game is designed essentially to be played multiplayer for the most part. You need more than one city in a region, and you can't make a jack-of-all-trades city, so you can't have a city with equal bits industrial, commercial, and residential. You have to hive some bits off to other cities. So you have to get coal or oil or whatever from other cities. So that essentially means that either you are juggling three or four cities at the same time to fulfill all the needs of all of them, or you're playing multiplayer. And I don't think it really works.
Otherwise, the thing is, the hackers who enabled the offline mode also disabled the region borders. So you could, I presumably, just edit the areas outside your city and have those fulfill those purposes.
If they've done that, then that's fair enough, and that would probably work. Although, I would worry about certain details about that, but largely, on a general side of things, I'd say that would probably be sensible. And if they made it work, then EA are really just silly. Just in terms of, we can't make it work, it's too technically demanding. Oh, we couldn't do that. It'll take too much time. No. I think they've caught the EA bug, and I don't like it.
We can add that to the list, then. They can go up there with, like Westwood and...
Bullfrog.
Pete Molyneux. Bullfrog, that's the one.
I'm so sad about Bullfrog.
Poor Peter.
Can I say a comment about all the SimCity release? Am I the only one that feel that after SimCity came out, StarCraft 2 came out under the radar or something? I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that many news about StarCraft 2 release or something.
Harvest Swarm basically died.
They all been talking about whole SimCity just bomb. No StarCraft news everywhere.
They haven't been saying anything good about SimCity, let's be honest.
There's pretty much nothing good to say about it at the moment. Other than it's nice and shiny. It really does look good. I will give them that. It really does look nice. But that really doesn't make a good video game, unfortunately.
Graphics.
It does.
How was Heart of the Swarm done, out of curiosity?
I didn't hear much about it, about the campaign or whatever. The only thing which I heard was that they basically ruined the story.
Really? Is it that
yes.
bad?
Yes, it's something along the lines of, in the last game, I think Raynor was it? He swore revenge on Kerrigan, and like all his teammates got killed, and in this game, he's basically in love with her.
That was StarCraft 2, the first bit of it, Wings of Liberty, that came out last year. They already ruined it with that. I was curious if they've ruined it again, to be honest with you.
It sounds like they ruined it again or went further with what they already
had. Interesting. Okay, well, that's fair enough. Well,
does anyone actually care about the story in StarCraft, out of curiosity?
Lots of people
I do. The only reason I play StarCraft is because of the story.
I don't know if care is the right word.
There are StarCraft books.
StarCraft was always competent in terms of story, in the same way that Warcraft was always fairly competent in terms of how it handled story. So I guess from that perspective, I kind of care, but I don't have that much investment in it, if that makes sense.
In StarCraft, you either care about the story, or you're in a Koreaboo.
I really care about the story of StarCraft. I love the first StarCraft, StarCraft
first
1 and Brood Wars.
Really good.
I really liked this, the playing the story mode in both in the first one in the expansion. I really like playing the story mode in it.
It still holds up quite well in terms of the pacing and everything else. So I would say it's one of those rare games that doesn't have really a story focus, but the story isn't terrible, if that makes sense.
The presentation of the story in StarCraft is also very good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
so
if they've ruined it, that would be disappointing.
So, on the topic of possibly ruined games in the future, what about Thief?
You mean T-H-I-4-F, you mean?
I prefer Thiaf.
Thiaf.
T-4.
The Brill's really into stealth games, and he's really angry about it.
Hang on. Isn't it being done by the people who did Deus Ex Human Revolution, which by all accounts didn't ruin Deus Ex forever?
Yeah. Deus Ex Human Revolution, it turned out pretty all right. It had some setbacks in some areas. It had some steps forward in other areas, and they might do that to Thief, but so far, it doesn't look good with the new focus mechanic. It's another one of those special vision type of things where you can see through shit, and it tells you which drawers like have fingerprints on them, so you can see which ones you are supposed to loot.
Quest markers.
You know, all of this would be fine if they have options available from the start of the game to switch them off. However, developers these days don't do that. They won't let you do that. They insist that you have all of these things on from the default, and then you can switch them off after you've beaten the game once, which makes no sense.
Of course it does, Moogle. You have to see the hard work they've put into this. That's what you're paying for, to see their hard work.
Is it like Deus Ex's orange outline vision, or is it worse?
Presumably worse because of the fingerprint thing telling you exactly which drawers have the loot inside them, which ones don't.
You see, I don't get that. Aside from something else, you could squeeze a good couple hours of gameplay out of making people wander around levels and look for things. And most people don't mind that.
No, yeah, a lot of people do mind that.
These games in the past, they're previously like kind of focused on being obtuse, on having a bunch of different options and having this place to explore. And the modern ones, they want to lead you directly to where the shit is.
Quest markers.
See, what I'm worried is, this is going to become a bit like the stealth in Dishonored, you know. The stealth initially might rely on, you know, looking around the corners, sort of using your own skills, but eventually it's going to offer you, you know, like this thief vision where you can see through walls and shit, you know, just see where people are, and you don't really have to think about it, you just sit there and hide.
I wish that the dark vision in Dishonored, I wish the dark vision there had, like, drained your mana over time or something, instead of just being, use it once, get your mana back, then start doing shit.
I felt the stealth in Dishonored was actually scripted. I don't know. Like, they actually told you, you need to go from here hiding, because that's the only path you can go from, you can go without anyone seeing you. Like in other games, like Metal Gear Solid or Deus Ex, you have to find your own way so the enemies didn't see you while being stealthy. But I felt that in Dishonored that wasn't the case. In Dishonored, they just give you, okay, this is the path you need to follow if you don't want to be seen. I felt Dishonored that way.
What I thought about Dishonored was that the spotting mechanic was actually very good on the enemies. Like, I've been wanting a better spotting mechanic in a lot of games for ages now, like one that kind of realistically, so to speak, picks up where you are based on distance, based on like sub-alert status and stuff. But the trouble which I had with it was the enemy AI was just moronic. It had no counters for anything you did. It never investigated anything. It never it commented when soldiers were missing, but it didn't actually look around for them. They didn't adjust their patrol routes, which was something they originally advertised to compensate for the missing soldiers. It was really disappointing in that regard. And we should have woken up after time. It could have taken all these cues from Metal Gear Solid series that it just didn't. And I think that's where it really fell flat. It just, the guards had no way of countering any of your myriad psychic abilities, or even your gun, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. The problem I have with many games these days is that they insist on empowering you while not offering any way for the enemies to really counter what you're doing, exactly as you've just said. I could go
that is kind of the mythos of Western game design, I would say.
Yeah.
That in the West, it is based on what I would say is escapism. It's based on empowerment on this power fantasy for the players, and that's what people buy. And I'm not so happy with that.
Yeah,
we're getting real deep here.
I read a lot
on this
topic.
I'm playing Monster Hunter and getting my ass handed to me. So, yeah, I could go along with that.
I'm eventually going to put out an article or something on this topic in, like, the next few months or something. I don't know. I've been writing on this topic for ages.
The worst thing is it's spreading to horror games. Horror games are one of my favorite genres, and it's so depressing to see them turned into shit third-person shooters.
Been any good horror game come out this generation?
Yes, there has.
Amnesia?
Aside from
that's
Amnesia
not,
and stuff.
That's not...
If you're going to say that's not good, I'm going to disown you forever.
No, that's not an individual... You know what I mean.
I don't.
No, I don't.
My mind boggles.
That's not a non-indie game.
Boggle. I get it.
Yeah.
Boggle. Boggle.
Yeah, the big-name studios don't want to put out horror games because horror games have a niche appeal, whereas action games have a much larger appeal.
Speaking of, right? I played. No, there is hope. I was playing Home recently, which came out on Steam ages ago. I have never played a game that made me more uncomfortable about being followed. Like, Home is insane. It's like you wake up, you know vaguely what's gone on, but the past, like, day of your memory is missing, and you walk back from where you found yourself to your house, discovering things, trying to make sense of it. And occasionally it'll stop and go, like, oh, I found a gun on the floor. Did I pick it up or did I not? I don't remember. And then you'll have to, like, you'll have to tell the guy whether he remembers picking up the gun. And it's sort of, it, like, the story is very dynamic and it constructs itself around, like, what you've done during the game.
That sounds
and
cool.
Like, the whole plot point and the whole ending can completely change based on what you remember doing and seeing. And that's pretty cool. But you're just walking through these levels and you'll, like, so you won't have seen one. You'll just hear a door close, or you'll hear something moving through some bushes, or you'll see something out of the corner of your eye. And it's just fucking, like, it really gets to you after a while, because you'll have been walking for an hour and you won't have seen anything, but it'll just fucking feel like something's there.
That sounds absolutely fantastic.
It's so unsettling. It's on sale. It's on sale on Steam right now.
Thank you, man. You sold me that game.
It's on sale on Steam right now for 70p, so I'd recommend it. It's like 2 hours long, so
yeah,
it's not a long game.
You sold me that game.
But it's actually a really good horror game.
Can you link me that after the podcast?
Maybe.
Katsumang is making an announcement for Home.
So yeah, completely off topic.
Is the developer of this game 1C Man, by any chance?
What?
Is the developer of this game 1C Man? Is that your name? Catsman? Are you the developer of this fine game? Is that why you're viraling it for us?
Yes, I am. I was paid huge amounts of money. I have, in fact, never played Home, but now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go burn some money to keep myself warm in this terrible cold that we're experiencing.
I didn't know you worked for IGN, Catsman.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I actually floss my teeth with $100 bills. It's a very inefficient way of cleaning your teeth.
Do you moonlight at Kotaku?
No. No one goes that low.
Oh.
I have standards.
That and other lies.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, that was a bit of a distraction. Home. It's fun. Happy Man, you have some news, don't you?
Yeah, just give me a moment. I gotta close the window.
While Happy Man's opening that, I want to complain about snow. It's the 24th of March right now, and it's still snowing. It was spring ages ago. Why is it still snowing? Is it ever going to stop, or is this permanent now?
You have snow on the 21st of March. How horrible it must be for you, X-Man. How absolutely dreadful it must be for you.
Shawnee, your infrastructure is designed to cope with this.
From Africa!
You're not that African, Shawnee. Let's be honest here.
I was born there!
How long have you lived in Sweden, though?
22 years now.
You're Swedish.
You sound quite Swedish.
So
anyway, the point is, like, everything in the country grinds to a halt, and every news topic is about how there's snow and how someone slipped over on some pavement and thinks the pavement should be gritted, and
everyone responsible sued by any chance?
Yes, sometimes.
Fucking Mother Nature.
And every idle conversation you have with anyone is about snow, like, oh, it's still snowing out there, and they're like,
but that's Britain, though. If we have no conversation topic, will fix the weather. You know
just
this.
The weather. Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Oh, don't you start that.
The thing about Arsenal is they always try to walk it in.
Walk it in. Yeah.
Sweden has snow for over half the year, but we still have problems every winter.
Really?
Yeah, trains never run on time, and they don't do the plowing so well, at least not where I live.
I think trains not running on time is a universal fact of life.
Happy Man, you think that your trains don't run on time when it's snowing?
Yeah, your city has trains all over the place, that's true.
Yeah, not only that, the buses, like, come every half... Sometimes the buses really decide not to come at all. And not as, like, in Örebro, that way. It's, like, every... Each and other bus doesn't come at all. And I'm like, okay.
That's terrible.
New York. We have subways.
Yeah, you do.
We have subways, too, but not where I live. Anyway, video games.
Yeah, so this guy
named, those?
This guy named Ed McMillan, he's kind of a cock.
McMillan.
I don't know if you heard about him. Yeah, what?
Isn't he the one that made Super Meat Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, that
He made
guy.
A good game as well.
He made Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, Binding of Isaac was good.
I agree, but I like Binding of Isaac.
Team
I know I know because of it, because of the stupid movie, the indie game. That movie was filled with what's called with hipsters. Oh my god, people that program while standing, or that use their glasses while they were swimming. Jesus Christ!
Indie developers, okay, are hipsters? No.
Okay, continue.
Team Meat wants Nintendo to put Meat Boy in Smash Brothers.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I read that.
Attacks would he have?
I'm going to be honest. I thought that was more of a throwaway comment than
what?
How serious and journalists seem to be taking it. But
Give me a
I'm
moment.
Not
Google
looking
Chrome crashed.
To new Smash Bros.
Oh,
I am
Google
not
Chrome
looking
crashed.
To new Smash Bros.
Oh, what an unprecedented thing happening there. Google Chrome crashed. I would never have expected Google Chrome to crash in a million years. Happy man. I use Google Chrome and Firefox interchangeably. I've seen more Chrome crashes than I've seen rendered web pages by it.
It's not wrong.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, I just needed an angry rant about Google Chrome because it has been crashing a lot for me recently.
This is a positive podcast.
This is a positive podcast.
That's
we stayed
why
positive
we're
for all of 10 minutes.
About Ed McMullen saying something. On
Shit,
Twitter.
Well, if this is a positive podcast, I shouldn't be here.
They said that if Nintendo were to put Meat Boy in one of the games, they would work on something for a Nintendo platform. They wouldn't work on something exclusive for the platform, but as Rafine's clarified, if they wanted Mugenix or something and they could promise us Meat Boy would be in a game, we would develop Mugenix for them. This is how they would buy it from us, and that's a very cheap price. That's it. Mugenix is their new game, by the way. I think Team Meat is vastly overestimating the pull they have in the industry.
Yeah, also,
I thought that was more of a throwaway comment, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because was that their interview with Eurogamer, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It struck
Eurogamer.
Me as more of a, let's just say this, let's stir some shit, rather than actually thinking seriously that they would ever agree to that.
No, I think...
And before launch the DLC.
Because they've made lots of comments like this before, very, very similar stuff.
Yeah, they have a shitty attitude. That's what I'm bothered by.
Right.
Talking about shitty attitudes, let's talk about the attitude of Phil Fish, the guy who created
Fez. Is it Fez, by any chance? Yes.
The guy who's got the computers for spreadsheets, and now Fez is coming out on a fucking computer. And now that it's coming out on a computer, he decided to bash the 3DS and DS.
Right, the minute... Is there a Steam community page for that yet? Because I was going to go there just to post sarcastic comments about spreadsheets on it. Maybe I should pose as a proper Gazio Party journalist and try to get an interview with the guy and then just spend the whole time bugging him about spreadsheets.
Wasn't he also the guy that said the Japanese game development was dead? Or something like that. Was that him?
Was what, him?
It was the guy that said the Japanese game development is now shit or something.
Yeah, he said that.
Was that him as well?
Also, he was the guy. Someone said something bad about him on Twitter, and he was just like, "I've won 2 IGF awards. Suck my dick." He's just a kind of an asshole.
Choke on my dick, something like that.
Suck my dick.
Suck on my dick. Choke on it.
Like you would never hear Pixel say that.
Oh yeah, Pixel is totally respectful and shit.
Pixel is like the politest person ever. I remember very clearly someone posted to him on like a bulletin board, like, "I love Cave Story, man. I'm all like, zap, zap, motherfucker." And he just, in response, he just says like, "Zap, zap." Like, zap, zap is a novel concept to him. It's
I love
just...
the Pixel's official description for Cave Story on his website is great because it's like, Cave Story is a jumping and shooting action adventure. You can explore the world, and you can also save your progress and pick up from where you left off.
Novel game ideas, I think you'll find. Yeah. If you look at SimCity, for an example, where you could log out, log back in, and your city would be gone.
God.
Maybe he should take a different pixel.
A very, very novel game mechanic, I think you'll agree, saving and restarting.
I think all game developers should just model themselves off Pixel completely. Yeah. That would make me that would shut me up in regards to complaints forever. It would also mean that we'd have nothing to talk about on this podcast, though.
Pixel worked for free, so I doubt that'll ever happen.
Well, he's rolling in Dosh now.
Yeah,
he's
rolling in Dosh.
I mean, he's getting screwed out of a lot of money by Nicalis.
Fantastic.
Speaking of indie developers and rolling in Dosh and other things, what about that Skullgirls Kickstarter?
They're not rolling in Dosh. What? They're well, not very exactly. poor.
No, nobody who rolls in Dosh needs a Kickstarter.
Not what I mean, but I mean a lot of people are complaining about it being a scam and they're full of shit.
Yeah, they're literally worse than Hitler.
Well, that's because none of those people that are complaining actually read what happened to them.
Oh, yes. What actually happened to them?
What happened was that their producer got sued for something, Def Jam series, and they got sued for a lot, so they basically got fired.
Wow.
And didn't get paid.
And now they're using Kickstarter to fund development of new characters for Skullgirl.
That makes sense.
And the thing is, a lot of people are complaining the prices are too fucking high, and I'm like, oh my god, you people have no idea how much animation costs.
Animation is expensive.
I mean, that's what hand-drawn sprite work all and...
All is hand-drawn and done in Photoshop.
And each character is likely 500 frames of animation just to start off with.
No, 1,300.
1,300 to start off with, and then you've got to consider the modifications will have to be made. So you've got to add a bunch of other frames to that, and it's an astronomical amount of money.
Yeah, and people are just like, oh, this other game, they did everything for no money. Why can't Skullgirls do that?
Mm. Oh, 3.3 million to make a point-and-click adventure game.
And I just
that's a lot of money for a point-and-click adventure game. As in,
yeah, it's the most horrible.
Homefront cost 85 million, and it looks like shit.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What? 85 million.
That's the figure that I was quoted. It was apparently a lot of money.
I'm distressed.
I'm sorry, Moogle.
Yeah, I think that people get have underestimated how much actually video games cost to make.
Yeah.
Well, expensive games that cost about the amount as same as Call of Duty, the only ones that spend the same amount as Call of Duty and makes a return is normally Call of Duty. The rest of them, spend all their money and don't really make enough back.
It's because they're chasing Call of Duty.
Exactly.
It's disgusting.
That asymptote of perfection that is Call of Duty.
Oh god, did you read that recent article written by the Red Orchestra developers about how Call of Duty has ruined a generation of gamers, or almost ruined it? That's a really sad article, gotta say.
I'm not sure if it's completely accurate, but yeah. There's a proportion of this generation of gamers that have been ruined by it. Whether it's ruined the entire generation, I would maybe not say that, but...
You could say almost.
The important thing is that article? He realizes that his playtesters are fucking idiots, or at least some of them are. And if more developers realize that, then the world would be a better place.
Well, maybe not that much better,
but a bit better.
Was this on PC Gamer, Destructoid, what?
The article.
Yeah, the article.
Quite a few different places. I think it was with PCG first, though, PC Gamer, so...
Okay.
So, on the topic of people who are idiots...
Oh boy, this
awesome segue there, really good for me. I'm literally...
So we're talking about Catman, right?
Segue in this tile. Peter are petitioning for the end of cruelty to Zerglings.
What?
At the Swan's midnight release in Irvine, California, they were caught handing out pamphlets intended to remind players to have compassion for all living beings, including those in the game. Zerglings have feelings, too, is intended to help players view StarCraft II's Zerg species with empathy, according to hippie nut job Joel Bartlett.
They're
to paraphrase the great philosopher, the question is not... can Zerg reason, nor can they talk, but can they suffer when attacked with a Perdition flamethrower?
Wait, this is a PR, right? This is...
Peter, yeah, this is
no one can be this stupid, right?
they've done this for quite a few high-profile games releases now.
Like Pokemon.
They did it for Pokemon. They did it for Super Meat Boy. With, and they responded excellently with Super Tofu Boy, which was fantastic.
They even had a go at Cooking Mama, just because she used meat.
Cooking Mama.
Yeah. Like, I have a question, right? What is falafel? Like, what's it made
falafel.
Of?
Falafel?
I've asked a few people, and falafel. no one has been able to answer.
I've heard the term several times, and it's
like
it's a mystery.
It's like asking what's really in McDonald's burgers. You just don't want to know, ultimately.
Mechanically recovered meat. Like, I know tofu is beans, but, like, seriously, falafel, what's in there?
Deep-fried ball or patty made from ground chickpeas, fava beans, or both.
Oh, my God, so it's like eating solid hummus.
Falafel's pretty good.
I cannot imagine a more disgusting image than solid hummus.
Solid hummus and liquid hummus.
So plasma hummus.
I find that way funnier than it should be or is.
Gaseous hummus.
According to Peter's campaign, the Zerg are killed or abused simply because Terrans can't or won't understand them.
What? No! Have they played the game?
No, they haven't, and they don't need to, because they're just doing a PR stunt.
There is nothing that can convince me that Peter is not just a huge troll. Nothing.
They are just a huge troll.
Oh, goodness. This is even worse considering the lore on the Zergs. Like, they are a creature, they're a species that used to be a parasite that tapped into other creatures' spinal cords and converted them into Zerg things. It is,
I was at the bathroom. Are we talking about EA again?
I am bad.
Oh, damn. Sick burn, yo.
Oh!
Zergs, secretly EA.
Yeah. Consuming everything they touch.
Now that's what I call viral marketing.
Zergs are misogynists.
Yeah, I agree. Agents of the patriarchy.
What? The Patriots?
The Lolly Lulay Low.
Exactly. Did someone just say Lolly Lulay Low?
This is becoming nonsense. Let's move on.
This is nonsense a long time ago. Happy Man, your news.
Oh, yeah. This one's pretty good. Hold on.
Wait. Why didn't PETA do something about the geckos on Metal Gear?
Like, because it's PETA, they can't do anything.
No, but why didn't they?
Because what would they say? What, they're made out of cows?
They moved. They are,
robots
yes.
have feelings, too.
Yeah, that little robot that keeps, like, doing silly dances and stuff.
Aww.
People for the ethical treatment of robots.
I fucking hate that robot, by the way.
It would be pronounced PETA.
Well, the dwarf gecko.
No, the fucking Metal Gear Mark II.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah.
He's stupid to me. It was pretty funny, though, when, never mind.
Yeah, let's not talk about something that you liked or were amused by. We're above that.
Yes, exactly. We don't
this
do
is the positive chat.
Over here.
We don't do that in here.
Okay, when they're on the boats in the Volga River, and Snake is, like, on fire or whatever, and he yells, Otacon! And that little robot jumps out of the fire.
Oh, God.
That was the best.
I hear your Emoto in the background, Happy.
Yeah, she yelled at me for yelling.
Outstanding.
Yeah, so, A Danish TV channel used Assassin's Creed footage in a news report about Syria.
Like, that hasn't gotten any worse since last time you said it.
Does this happen by accident or?
No, nope. I'm sure it must do, but nope.
I've seen this before. I've seen news channels using footage from like games when
Armor,
they should have been.
Armor was the big one.
Armor.
North Korea used footage from Call of Duty Black Ops 3 or whatever.
In an official video that they released.
Yes.
They
should have been video. So, yeah. Apparently, that Danish TV channel, one of the employees found the image online, thinking it was a photo of Damascus's skyline. And the head of the news at the TV channel said, "It was a reminder to us all of the importance of verifying the sources of pictures reported Times of Israel."
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's important to verify sources of pictures. They just found that out.
To be fair, right, Assassin's Creed is quite historically accurate, so they could have done a lot worse.
Yeah, but also, like...
Hey, it's more the fact that it would have been a picture of the skyline. Nearly 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Like this, the picture is like from the Middle Ages, and they think, well, that's what that looks like now.
It's almost as awful as those people in OkCupid who make profiles of various video game characters, like Ezio, and then women on OkCupid fall for that.
Yeah, that is the best, by the way.
Oh God,
I've seen those ones; they were wonderful.
Kind of cruel, but also wonderful.
Hey, if they can fall from it, they. Suit themselves.
I can't tell video games from real life.
Of course. Neither
can Danish people, apparently.
Fourth order simulation.
I also eat mushrooms that I find in public.
I eat the big pills so I can kill the ghosts because they turn blue, so I can eat the little pills better.
I cut people in half with electric katana.
Yeah, it works for me. A fantastic game, by the way.
Once upon a time, when I was a kid, I was out walking with, like, me mam, and we stumbled upon a field, and we found a gigantic mushroom that was, like, the size of a football. I thought it was a ball at first, and she was like, "That looks like a delicious mushroom. I'm going to take this home and cook it." And I was like, "That mushroom's too big to even fit in the frying pan." But she took it home and cooked it anyway, and I had a slice, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. I just wanted to bring up those terrible memories.
I wish I could meet Titan Cats, man. That would be probably the best day of my life.
I'll have a game of Boggle with you.
What is even Boggle?
You don't even know what Boggle is.
Boggle!
No!
Boggle is a fantastic game. And you are... It's disappointing you've not played it, Shawnee. I expected better of you.
I'm using Boggle as a euphemism in this case, Shawnee.
Yes.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Anyway, someone else was apparently about to say something relevant when I cut them off with my inane story.
Probably nothing important. Let's just move on.
Next item of
news. Next.
Age of Empires 2 is being remade. Yay. Reportedly, remake will contain enhanced graphics, increased resolutions, multi-monitor support, full Steamworks and Steam Workshop integration. However, I'm not going to buy it because it won't have LAN multiplayer.
It'll probably also have a big recommendation over every single menu item to tell you that you should buy this next, and it'll grey out everything else so you can't buy anything else other than what it recommends to you. That's probably what it's going to do.
Civ advisors?
Oh, Civ advisors, maybe, possibly. But they at least, you can just ignore them.
God, your military advisor in Civ 5, he's such a pessimist.
He is, isn't he?
Like,
you're screwed!
Like, you have 5 guys and one other Civ has 8 guys, and he's like, "They have their military strong enough to wipe us off the planet. You need to build more units."
Yeah. Fortunately, I never have that problem, because I'm always the strongest military in Civ. Always.
The best advisor is the economic advisor, because he's just like, build a bank, build a bank, build the next thing up from a bank, build the next thing up from that. Just all the way through the entire game, I've never had him say anything other than build a bank. Why even program that in?
Occasionally they tell you to get rid of your military units. I've had that. Having a lot of military units, they sometimes tell you to get rid of them.
Yeah, but... In which Civ was Elvis an advisor? Elvis could, like, be an advisor in the Civ game. I can't remember which one. It was, like, under
probably
certain conditions.
Or something.
Under some condition, one of your guys will be Elvis.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I want Elvis as my cultural advisor. That'd be sensible.
I want Elvis as my science advisor.
Sure, that'd go very well.
So, does anyone have any opinions on Age of Empires 2?
Well, I'm wondering when if they will ever release the original Age of Empires for free, like they did with Command & Conquer. I know they're different companies and stuff, but you know.
Elder Scrolls.
Isn't that simply because the copyright ran out, though?
No, copyrights on video games don't run out for ages. Most copyrights don't run out for ages, thanks to Disney. But it was basically
Disney.
It was EA trying to stir up publicity for Command and Conquer Red Alert 3, which was coming out.
Command and Conquer 4.
Or Command and Conquer 4, the shit one.
Because 4 was absolutely abysmal. Always online.
No more base building. The whole point of Command and Conquer is base building.
Hey, we decided that base building thing that all the people are doing, that's not really the core of the gameplay here. We want more guns, shooting, ammunition, soldiers, you know, like Call of Duty.
We want to do it from a first-person perspective as well.
There was a first-person Command & Conquer game, and it was made by Westwood, wasn't it?
And it wasn't actually that bad.
It wasn't really good in the sort of like shooting mechanics, but sort of it had this sort of weird midpoint where it was so mildly interesting.
The multiplayer was hilarious as well.
You know all the things you liked about your favorite video game franchise? We decided they're not as good as the shooting, so we're just going to focus on that in the future and rip out everything great about what you loved.
You know that comic where the guy's like, oh man, I love the video game Blue, and then it's like, Blue is being made into a movie, and he's like, I'm so psyched to go see Blue the movie, and
Red.
He's sitting in the theater, and it's just like,
Red.
And now, and the movie, Blue, and it's just like a massive red background.
Yeah.
You can see the red reflected all over the room, and he's just like,
not again, how did I not see this happening?
Communists. Red Scare.
What's your favorite movie with red in the name?
Oh, God.
Search for the Red October,
that's a nice segue,
maybe?
I don't know any movies with red in the name.
No, Red Dawn, man. The Russians are attacking from the sky, and only these students can stop them.
See, these are the only two I can think of, Hunt for the Red October and Red Dawn. There's loads more out there, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I haven't watched yet. It's been on my hard drive for a while, but I'm pretty sure Redline.
Yeah.
Redline. I've been told to watch that.
The plot of Redline is pretty shitty, but the animation makes up for it.
Yeah, I've been told
movie.
You should just watch it for the animation, but I've been known to do that before.
Animation and music-wise, that movie is fantastic.
Yeah, if you're really tired and you just want to film, sort of chill out, watch back and just take in the visuals and stuff, it's one of those films that's pretty cool.
Isn't that movie with Bruce Willis called Red? Morgan Freeman, I guess? I'm not sure.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
like,
there is.
It's about
the secret agent,
old
age people. Yeah.
Is it good?
It's got Bruce Willis in it. What do you think?
No.
Yes.
Hey, Die Hard.
Fiction,
good.
Man.
Fuck you.
Hey, Pulp Fiction got away with having Bruce Willis in it, and I don't know how.
Sid's dead, baby. It's not a motorcycle, baby. It's a chopper.
What?
He had some fucking dumb lines in that movie.
Hey guys, I didn't add that much. I was kind of distracted during this whole thing, but I'd just like to say, have a happy podcast. I'm going to go play some D&D.
Okay,
so. Okay,
yeah.
Have fun.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought of the best Red movie. Shawshank Redemption.
That doesn't count.
I was going to find something like that, but I couldn't. I was like racking my brain for something with red.
Okay, I think we're ready to move on here. We're ready to move on here.
I'm dying from humor.
You're going to pun how?
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima suggests video game pilots to combat rising next-gen dev costs. Legendary developer Hideo Kojima has come up with an interesting idea to combat rising video game costs, the video game pilot. With the next generation of consoles on the horizon, publishers are faced with potentially increased development costs. One way around this, the Metal Gear creator told Edge, would be to release a video game pilot to test the waters before full production begins. There's a different way of tackling this problem, he says, something similar to a TV series, where you can use pilot episodes to test the water before you jump into the project. It can be distributed via download channels so the player can try it out before production continues. Something like that won't take too long to create, maybe a year. And if it successfully can continue.
We want video games to be more cinematic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Same
I don't know
remember
how well this idea can work.
Mega Man Legends 3. They were going to do that with Mega Man
they
Legends
never
3.
Released the alpha of that.
And
I'm
they
so
were like,
sad.
No, we've almost made it, but we don't think people are going to be interested enough in it, even though the whole purpose of this project was to gauge whether people were interested or not. So we're just going to shelve it. Bye-bye now.
I still think that was only because Capcom is suffering from a bad breakup from Keiji Inafune.
Controversial.
Pretty much.
Controversial opinion. I don't understand why people want a sequel to Mega Man Legends so badly. That game was not good.
I don't know. I didn't mind it. I think it didn't age very well, and I think a sequel could have fixed a lot of the problems that Mega Man Legends had, like the clunky ass terrible controls.
The voice acting is pretty funny though.
Yeah,
I don't think that's intentional somehow.
I'm
no,
mostly mad
they're
just shitting on Mega Man.
Well, Capcom did announce that they are going to make a new Mega Man game now.
Yeah, and all the boss weapons will be DLC now in Capcom.
Actually, Capcom has been really nice lately.
No, they haven't.
No.
I will wait until DuckTales is out before I make that judgment.
Oh, yes, so we have DuckTales from Capcom, developed by WayForward, conversion of the old game with HD graphics and 3D backgrounds.
WayForward are a fucking excellent group of people.
WayForward have got a decent track record.
They have.
And if the music is as good as it should be, then fair enough.
What's your favorite?
Jake Kaufman. It will be.
DuckTales music track that is not the moon.
The
All of them are
house.
Good. All of them are good.
I like
Sorry, they just
probably
are.
Amazon Jungle the best.
I have that on the Game Boy, and I still play it regularly, because
it's
fantastic.
It's so cheerful. It's just like a cheery-ass game.
That fucking statue wants you to pay a bunch of money? Fuck him. You know what I did? I went back a bit, and I lured an enemy to that place where the statue wants you to pay, and I jumped on top of the enemy, and I got up. I didn't have to pay the statue. That's
proper
video game
Scrooge
pro tip
McDuck
from Happy Man.
Right there.
Yeah,
you should have your own series, honestly.
It's very characteristic of Scrooge McDuck to do something like that.
Just going back to the DuckTales quickly, do you know they're getting the original cast from the TV show to voice the characters?
Surprising cast from the TV show.
Yes, they are, actually.
Lots of them have died.
Guess how old the guy is who voiced Scrooge McDuck is now.
Oh, please.
I'm dead.
Oh, man.
90.
93, yes.
Wow!
And damn!
Right there.
And he's still going to do it?
Yeah, apparently WayForward quoted that he came in, he did his thing, and he did like a real pro and everything, so...
Nice.
Oh,
that's
incredible. That's
what he's meant at 93.
That's awesome.
He's like one of those old people you see doing like jogging every day or something, presumably.
Like my grandma.
You know, ones that are more fit than their children somehow.
Exactly like my great-grandma.
Old people are pretty badass. Unless they whine all the time, then they're not badass.
Not all of them. Earlier during this podcast, my sister came into the room to complain that my grandfather had been trying to boss around her cat.
What?
Get a haircut, you hippie cat.
My great-grandma is like 94 now, and she starts every day by swinging 100 strokes, or whatchamacallit, lengthed. What's that in English?
Lengths?
Laps.
Oh my god, I'm retarded.
Laps is the thing.
Laps. In her swimming pool. Every day.
That's pretty awesome. Sounds like a badass old lady.
She could probably beat me in arm wrestling, I'm not even kidding.
I could be beaten by gravity in arm wrestling.
There's an old man who comes into the bookstore where I work, and he always wants to talk about World War II with me. He's pretty cool.
What bookstore do you work at?
The one my family owns. In the
family owns a bookstore?
Yeah. It's about to go under, though.
Aww,
which is kind of sad,
that.
I guess.
Why don't you start selling video games as well?
No, I would never do that.
Video games aren't...
That's a silly
idea. I'd rather
idea.
Work at a call center than work in a video game store.
No, you don't.
You can be one of these really cool video game stores, like I had one as a kid, and I'd go there and the guy would have like random games playing.
Yep.
There's some really great video game stores here in the city in New York, like Video Games New York and 8-Bit and Up. Those are incredible.
Well,
Sweden, independent video game stores are always run by cool guys.
We don't have any here. Like, we have a pawn shop that has a bunch of video games, but in my town, but other than that...
Then you've got no competition.
Yeah, but now there's Game and GameStop. That's all Swedish video game stores.
Yep. Well, you could make it a cat cafe instead, like they have in Japan.
Oh, man.
I was actually, cafes. Me and my friend was actually going to start like a video game cafe slash video game store.
Prepare to go out of business.
Yeah. That's what we figured out.
Anyone who starts basically any store in this day and age, or restaurant or cafe, just prepare to go out of business.
Yeah, that's basically what we were looking for, so we skipped that.
There's a couple of video game bars in the UK which I know of that have been going on for like quite a few years now, really.
Here in New York has Barcade.
We don't even have arcades here in Sweden.
The only place that arcades are doing well in is Japan.
Yes. Maybe
and
Korea,
no one knows
maybe.
Why.
Maybe Korea.
I know why. It's a huge difference of ideology.
Go on.
Like, I've done a bunch of research on the topic. Essentially, in Japan, they just have like this entirely different way of viewing games. Over here, when you lose at a game, you put in another coin. You coin feed the machine. Over there, they drop it. They go to the back of the line, let the next person go. They don't continue when they're playing a game. It's this etiquette rule thing.
Mm.
And also, it's that in Japan, you play games because you enjoy games. Over here, kids just don't understand games that don't give out tickets and prizes and stuff. Mm. And they don't play games because they enjoy them. They play them because they want the prize from them. And ultimately, every kid comes to realize that they're spending more to get these prizes than if they just bought the things themselves.
Fun in video games. Japanese people are funny.
So basically, the reason why arcades are dead is because they got Americanized?
Westernized, really. It's a huge part of our ideology out here in the West. We're based a lot on what we want rather than what we enjoy, which is why stuff like Diablo 3 is so popular. It's addiction rather than enjoyment. David Serland, this
also
one
known
game
as all
design.
MMOs, same thing.
Yeah,
you say that. David Serland, Monster Hunter is the most popular game in Japan at the moment, which is pretty much exactly the same.
Fuck if I know.
I think that's a textbook case of entitled gamers. Gamers think they're entitled to prizes.
The E word.
Yeah, David Serland wrote a great blog post on that addiction, Diablo 3, and Portal 2.
Mm.
Sounds interesting. I will skim it and pretend I've read it.
Did anyone ever read the there was a guy who basically gets hired by the people that do social games, so Zynga and whoever else. He's a mathematician, and he goes through the mathematics of making these games and the attitudes that go along with it. It was a really interesting set of blogs that he did, and I wish I could find it now. I might have a try again. Bear with me.
We've been off track for about 20 minutes. Does anyone have anything to say about video game pilots? Do you think it will
not
work?
Not really. No.
I don't think that they'll work.
Yeah.
I think just Hideyuki Ima needs to just stop with this whole video game thing and just go into movies.
Fucking make a TV show,
well, no, he can't, because he can't make a 14-hour movie. That's
he can
thing.
Make a 14-hour TV show, though.
Yeah.
I think that game development costs need to go down. We need to stop being focused on these things that cost so much money. I mean, so much of the development costs aren't going into things which the player can actually interact with. They're going into stuff like the voice acting, like the cutscenes, like the graphics, like all sorts of things that aren't things they can touch and feel, so to speak.
Okay, here's what would
it
be...
is the most important part, though. It is supposed to be of the flashing colors that sprinkle in front of your eyes to keep you distracted.
What looks good
celebrities. It's Stephen Fry for Fable 2. That'll make it good, right?
Yeah, Stephen Fry will make Fable 2 good, even if we don't have the money to hire a writer to give him funny lines.
You know what? You're being ironic, but there were people who were like, man, this game is Stephen Fry. It can't be bad.
Well, obviously it worked then.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I would be very happy if instead of a massive graphical improvement, we just doubled the frame rate of all games and made them run at a constant 60 or even 120 frames per second at high resolutions uninterrupted with anti-aliasing. That would please me. That would make me very, very happy. There's nothing that looks nicer than a game that runs at 60 frames per second.
60 frames a second is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm so used to that from like fighting games and Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I liked, what was it? Metal Gear Rising is Kamiya, Hideki Kamiya, who didn't actually work on Metal Gear Rising, but was vaguely involved because he's at Platinum Games. Someone asked him on Twitter why... it didn't look as good as it could do, and he said, that's because we're trying to make it better for you by making it run at 60, and I would always pick a game that runs at 60. Always.
Hell yeah.
Because it's wonderful.
Great.
I also streamed it at 60 frames a second, and everyone that came into stream was all, what's this, 60 frames a second? What is this wizardry?
It was wonderful. And
it was wizardry.
I'm still looking for you for the Revengeance stream.
Yeah, eventually I'll put Revengeance mode on. We'll have to do that, but...
I've tweeted on very hard.
So.
I'm just saying, games will once get you like 20, I don't know, 200 frames per second, and this guy will be, nope, just 60. Only 60.
I still would rather have 60 than 30.
Yeah. 60 is where all games should be aiming at, as far as I'm concerned.
60 is a very reasonable number. I don't think we really need much more than that. I have a friend who runs like Devil May Cry at 120 frames per second. I could if I had the right monitor for that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's really necessary, that level of fidelity.
I've run games at 120 frames per second before. It is very nice, but it's not mandatory. It should be like optional for people who have really nice PCs and want to go there.
How many frames per second can our eyes process anyway?
Oh, very high number. Don't go there.
Yeah, it's a crazy high number. There is a limit, and there is also a finite limit to the resolution of the human eye, but it's pretty much so high that you don't really like want to worry. Like, with current technology, let's not worry about it.
I have this one great GIF that like compares different frames per second, like has a line at the top that passes across at 60, then 30, then 15.
Is that the ball GIF by any chance? Because there's a really good GIF of a ball falling at 24 frames a second, which is what films use, obviously, and then 30 and then 60. And it's absolutely fantastic to watch. Let me see if I can find that.
Yeah, there's quite a few comparisons out there on the internet. I imagine most of them are pretty good comparisons. You know, not all of them might be running perfectly and whatever, but you know, you can tell the difference between sort of 30-ish and 60-ish.
Oh, that was it was a square. That was it.
Anyone who says, like, oh, the human eye can't tell the difference between 24 and 60 frames per second is just trying to piss me off. They're not being serious.
They're a moron because of this, and it's this link, and it's a square dropping, jumping, and rotating.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I'm sorry, did at 1945.08, someone sent me a link to insomnia.ac.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Why would you do this?
No. I sent that. Unless you're talking about a different person.
The man is a certified moron.
I've dealt with him before in person. I've talked to him on IRC chat. He is a crazy bastard.
I wouldn't call him a moron, but I just think he's a complete and utter arse. That's my opinion.
What are we talking about?
Links in the show notes. He
reviewed Cave Story, and he spent more time talking about how everyone else was an asshole for reviewing it wrong than talking about the game. It was a 5-paragraph review, and 3 paragraphs were other people have reviewed this game wrong.
You should see this one section from his book. It's a essay titled "Why Scoring Sucks and Those Who Defend It Are Ass Pies." He got this published in a book.
He also said he said that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 was a bad game, and that Sonic 1 and 3 were far superior, even though they're pretty much identical.
I don't have many issues with his arguments, because some of his arguments actually make sense. It's the way he phrases them that gets me. No, some
of
them do.
Nothing he says, it's just a prolonged rant of hipsterism.
Some of it has some points which can be taken out and are useful. However,
just,
in general, his central ideology is crazy.
He's one of these people who just wants to be contrarian for no other reason than, everyone believes this.
I think he's legitimately insane.
The other thing that got me was he posted an article, and there's a forum thread apparently on his forum for every single article he posts. And one of his staff, so one of his mods that he's obviously spent years getting hold of and dealing with, pointed out a couple of grammatical mistakes. He then said, "Those are all wrong. If you do this again, I'm going to ban the shit out of you. You're gone."
He bans everyone for the slightest fucking little thing.
Yeah, and he also has a section. Yeah,
he forces everyone on his website to subscribe to his shit, and if you dare not post or do post and post something that disagrees with him, or do post and post with incorrect grammar or a typo or something, he will ban your ass and you lose your money.
Yeah,
can you send this to him and then tell him that I challenge him to a fist fight?
You can't.
Fisticuffs.
Oh, and
fisticuffs
then he posts
in the back
how
garden.
And then he posts about how he's a surfer or something and lifts 1,000,000 pounds or some whatever, and he could kick your ass in a fight.
And is an Navy SEAL with 100 confirmed kills.
And now an no one simian combat.
And now none of the people who critique him can understand women so well as he can, or get women as well as he can, or whatever. He's the most fucking self-absorbed shithead on the entire internet.
Yes.
There's self-absorbed shitheads on the internet? No.
No, never. Surely not.
And he wins the prize.
Anyway, video game pilots are a decent idea, but nobody will ever use them.
This is the same thing with episodic gaming that happened several years ago, and they said, yeah, we're gonna move everything in gaming to episodic, and it'll be fantastic.
And then Valve were the freaking poster child of that.
Why
any studio other than Valve could have tried it, and it would have worked perfectly.
Well, Telltale have done it, and it worked perfectly when Telltale do it, so that's
true.
Absolutely fine.
But they're the only people who... But they can really crank shit out. Yeah. Like, they make games so goddamn fast.
A, they can crank shit out, and B, they can crank it out to a decent quality, and the model of game that they use, so point-and-clicks, essentially, adventure-type games, actually works for that kind of
They've got it down to a fine art. I'm impressed by them,
to be honest.
No one
else can do it, as far as I can tell, thus far. So
there have been, like, one or two other games, but they're mostly, like, indie games or weird budget games that no one really cares about, so...
And Gabe Newell keeps flashing us a number 3 in every photo of him.
Yep.
Speaking
and it's just
of Gabe
left red
Newell,
3.
Here we go. Nice segue there.
Left 3 dead.
It's gonna. Like, I don't really normally do segues.
Ricochet 3D, as far as I'm concerned.
Edit bits out. So, oh god, I can't. Oh, I know why. It's because I'm looking at the show notes for Gentlemen Discussing Video 14. Okay, that's okay. Insomniac Gamers pay idiots to play their games and make them worse. I remember that.
What?
Gabe Newell is going to be awarded a BAFTA fellowship.
In an
official statement, BAFTA said the fellowship is the highest accolade bestowed upon an individual in recognition of an outstanding and exceptional contribution to games. With a career spanning 3 decades, beginning at Microsoft in 1983 as the head of Valve, the company is successful in 1996. Newell follows in the footsteps of other fellows such as Peter Molyneux, Shigeru Miyamoto, and Bill White. On being informed, he said, "It's an honor for myself and everyone at Valve to be presented with an award by one of the world's most respected and recognized organizations. Valve owes a tremendous thanks, blah, blah, blah. I look forward to receiving and accepting this prestigious honor on behalf of everyone in our community." Reportedly, Gabe then cured 6 terminally ill children, gave them all exclusive TF2 hats.
The way you described that award made me think of the episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns holds an awards show and it calls it like the Mr. Burns Award for Outstanding Performance in the Field of Excellence or something. This total bullshit. But he needs to give it to Homer because he needs to pay table for a thing without having him know about it. So he holds just a big bullshit awards show. Anyway, what's the BAFTA Awards?
British BAFTA. Academy of Film and Television Awards?
Arts, I think.
And now video game, apparently.
It's like the most prestigious award you can win, I think, or one of the most.
If you're working in the media within Britain, essentially, it's the best British award you can get for being in the media, or something like that,
okay.
Isn't it?
I didn't.
It's pretty well thought of.
I didn't mean to talk shit about those awards. It's just the way you described it made me think of that.
Yeah.
What is it? Excellent individual recognition, outstanding, exceptional contribution. You know, the usual hyperbolic stuff. I mean, that's kind of nice, but in a way, I think they should have like told Gabe that. Like, he should... Once he releases Half-Life 3, then they'll give it to him.
Yeah.
You see, I don't actually care
give
about Half-Life
3. Motivation.
So.
This is like giving Obama, by the way, who is not a US citizen, giving him a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Actually doing anything.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Gaben.
Gaben?
Yeah, I don't actually care about Half-Life 3, so that really...
Don't you?
No, I really don't.
Why not?
I don't enjoy the Half-Life games. They're very,
you don't.
Very good. I don't
Half-Life
enjoy them.
1 rocked.
They are one of the last FPS series that I'm interested in. In fact, I think they're probably the last FPS series that I'm interested in now that Unreal's gone to crap and Quake's gone to crap.
So is this about time to say that I've never played Half-Life?
Yeah.
Not really.
Go to hell.
I didn't enjoy playing any of them at all. They're fantastic games, but I just don't enjoy them. I don't derive any fun. So.
It's a fairly enjoyable series of first-person shooters with some good variety and a competent storyline.
Mm.
Fuck that railroad level, though.
What railroad?
Under that bridge, man. You want to go under the bridge?
In the first Half-Life, you're in like a railway underground. Yeah, on a rail, that was called.
Yeah, the speedrun guy skipped it. He totally skipped that level.
That Half-Life 1 remake with whatever engine.
Black Mesa.
Black Mesa, yeah. Didn't they actually cut out a large section of that just because, you know, a lot of people didn't really like it and it sort of broke up the flow too much?
Because it was bad.
That YouTube man didn't know how to crouse jump, so he couldn't get up on the thing.
It's not DSP by any chance, is that? Was that DSP?
How did you know?
Oh,
it's
DSP.
Always like idiot doesn't know how to play video games or capture video. It's my DSP.
First
exposure. Oh, what a surprise.
My first
you should say one Bayonetta video.
Oh, he's done Bayonetta. I don't want to watch that. That would just be painful. But Metal Gear Solid 2.
There's this cutscene. An enemy drags away some person which he's trying to get in contact with, goes through a fence, and then, like, it takes him back. It resets his position, so he's looking directly at the broken fence with the hole in it, and the enemy's flying off, and then he doesn't know what to do.
My best DSP quote has got to be, he's playing Metal Gear Solid 2, and he says, pretty much verbatim, I want a button that locks my aim to the enemy's head. Out of that point, I just went,
I didn't
there
mean
what is wrong button. With video games?
There I shouldn't have said button. That, because now we're talking about YouTube people. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't. It's just, that entire video, though, his Metal Gear Solid 2 exploits are absolutely fantastic, and I encourage you to watch them, because it's fantastic. He tried to get them all taken down, because it was that bad. What's this? Is this the Bayonetta
this
one?
Is it. This is the one of Retsu Parei.
That's the one, yes, Rats of Prey, when they commented on it.
Colonel, I didn't manage to avoid drowning.
It's just, every single time I watch DSP, I just want to hurt myself.
He is the most moronic Let's Player. I can't believe he didn't win a Scrub of the Year.
Where do I go? What do I do?
There was nothing I could do! I'm pushing buttons!
There's a Scrub of the Year award?
It was part of the VGA.
Explains why I don't know about it.
When the first VGAs came out, I actually knew the Scrub of the Year. I've encountered him before. And it was quite amusing watching him get Scrub of the Year.
Wait, who?
Who won it this year?
I don't know who won it this year, but the guy who won it the first year it was done, I know him by the name of Knighthood. He's part of the community. He was part of the community that I still am technically part of. But he was so ill-liked at one point that one of the other guys took a biro to his balls and wrote his name and posted a picture of it on the internet. Still have that picture with this guy's name on his balls. It was the most terrifying thing I've seen in a long, long time.
Oh, I'm so mad I'm going to write your name on my balls.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
mad.
Much. He was mad, pretty much.
Oh, God.
Death logic.
But yeah, I've got to find the gif of that somewhere. Sorry, excuse me.
I don't think I want to see it.
No, there was a gif that was made that was actually quite amusing of that, and I need to find it.
Is it my turn to talk about news, or did
it's
you
your
do
turn
just
to talk about news?
It is me. Okay, hold on while I bring it up.
When we're talking about balls, it's just that, you know, we've gone too off topic.
Yeah. God, I shouldn't have mentioned that YouTube man. I really hate talking about YouTube people.
Yeah, me too. I drag Gather Your Podcast off topic when I'm on it.
Yeah,
that's why you should be fired from the show.
I should be fired from Gather Your Podcast and fired from life. I really should.
Catsman, you should go ahead and whine about and bitch about Google Chrome some more, because that's what's holding me up right now.
God damn, it's not a bad browser, but it's
okay.
Like,
never mind, I got it up now.
It's like riding a really, really fast unicycle.
There are no stops to this. No stops.
Know a guy who rides a really fast unicycle, actually. People call him Lupton Unicycle Boy because no one knows his name. And every morning, he keeps his unicycle in his room. There's a bike shed, but he keeps the unicycle in his room because the unicycle is so precious. And then he drags the unicycle down 3 flights of stairs, gets on it, unicycles away. I still, to this day, don't know what he does when he gets to a traffic light. Whether he just stops there on the unicycle, whether he dismounts, whether he runs it or not.
He just starts like doing tricks on the spot while he waits.
He just does a little figure eight on the spot. That's what he does.
He's like 8 feet off the ground. He has a crash helmet, and then he gets to university, and he just chains the unicycle up with the rest of the bikes, and it's just sat there like, "Hi, I'm a unicycle." He's okay. So cool. Apparently, he's an asshole in person, though. So there you go.
My first good news.
It's a lie. He has no good news.
John Ricciatello, Mr. Pay to Reload, has stepped down as a EA boss. He's gone.
Fuck yeah.
That
yeah.
was never a thing, was it? Pay to reload, please. Tell me that that was never
but something
that was said.
He wanted it to be.
I swear there was the other guy. I swear there was recently.
No, they issued a correction. Blake Jorgensen, I was going to mention that because it was in our last podcast, but Blake Jorgensen basically said, to clarify, EA's games will not all have microtransactions. That's not happening.
Lies.
They said they're working on a technology that will make credit card processing and storefronts easy to integrate into all their mobile games. They'll do it in all their mobile games. Other games are safe.
Lies.
No, they're not, because they do it in those anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I believe it, but that's what they said anyway. I'm very sad, actually, that we don't have SpaghettiO anymore, because we've got no one to hate.
Yeah, they're just going to replace him with another guy who is just as... Big
we will
dick.
Surely find
so.
Somebody new to hate. Trust me. We will surely find somebody new to hate.
I think stable we're hate long-term on... business practices?
I think we can hate on indie developers altogether now.
But this is Positive Edition, so I would like to say something positive about Ravioli, and that is that Mirror's Edge, Brutal Legend.
Why?
Brutal Legend.
Those games were alright.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? And they were under his rule. He wanted EA to take some more interesting creative risks.
Very true.
Mirror's Edge had a great concept, but it got
Mirror's
dulled
Edge was
down. Because he's just instead of shooting.
Then neither of those games sold well, and here we are.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
quite.
This is our fault.
I bought both those games,
Obama.
Fuck you.
I bought those games, too.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. What games are we on about?
Mirror's Edge, Dead Space, and Brutal Legend.
I bought Brutal Legend and Mirror's Edge.
I would have bought Brutal Legend if it had come out on PC, which it didn't until recently.
Yeah.
Didn't you hate Mirror's Edge, Kat, because you didn't like the controls for some reason?
Yeah, I pirated the PC port, and I was so glad that I didn't play it, didn't pay for it. Even if you use a keyboard and mouse, which you should do because it's a first-person game, they give you all the button prompts as they are for an Xbox 360 controller.
I don't remember that, to be honest.
They don't tell you.
I think it was just a keyboard prompt.
No, there were no keyboard prompts.
Unless
at least in the launch version.
You played a pirated one, perhaps?
No, I don't think. That would be a very weird anti-piracy method if that existed. Just doing something that mildly irritates the player and makes them not like the game.
Oh,
there's one thing you're getting here, Kat.
That Michael
Day
Jackson.
Day one patches. You don't know if it's been added where.
Stranger things have happened. EA has actually released original titles.
I just went to YouTube. It does have the normal button prompts in this one footage of it. It says A, D with space.
Well, I didn't have a 360 controller and started up the game. It told me to plug in a 360 controller. I said, no, I don't want to plug a 360 controller in. It then told me that it wouldn't give me the PC controls. It said that. I remember it vividly.
Vivid.
I turned off the prompts when I played it on my Xbox. Something hardcore like that.
You're up. News time.
Could be Dark Souls.
On the subject of John SpaghettiO, right? I remembered a good publisher. You know, last time we were like, what good publishers are left? I remembered a good publisher. Take Two. Bioshock,
Take two,
Civilization,
okay.
GTA, Max Payne, Red Dead, Serious Sam, Tropico. Can you really fault them?
Yeah,
I'm
right.
sure if you look at the shovelware that they do behind the scenes, probably.
Who
what shovelware do they do behind the scenes?
I don't know,
scenes?
Do they do any shovelware at all?
I'm
Surely
not aware of them doing
these
it.
Days.
Everyone does shovelware to some degree. Otherwise, those games wouldn't keep coming out all the time if everyone wasn't doing them.
So,
well, I guess Valve doesn't. That's about it.
Me and you have the same news, but I would like you to talk about Yu Suzuki, Happy Man.
Oh, what? I don't have it on my list.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll talk about it then. So,
I just
Yu
go
Suzuki,
yes occasionally.
Yu Suzuki is considering crowdfunding to finance Shenmue 3.
Yes!
Did we talk about this last time?
No, we didn't. We're talking about Shenmue, though.
Even if we did, we're talking about it again.
We talked about it, but we didn't go into detail because there wasn't like an official article about it.
Yeah, the series hit hard times after Sega failed to recoup the game's massive production costs, but the thrilling conclusion to Ryo's story may yet see the light of day. A French journalist recently tweeted, following an interview with the guy, Yu Suzuki declares to be thinking about a Kickstarter-like model to fund Shenmue 3. Following with, Yu Suzuki would also like to continue the story of Shenmue in anime or manga form. Now, I would kickstart that that shit in a literal heartbeat or less.
You shitlords didn't believe me when I talked about this last time, but it's happening.
It was only my boy that didn't believe you, but he doesn't believe in anything.
Okay, so fuck him. Shenmue 3 is happening.
Yeah, Shenmue 3. Well,
I want
maybe
Shenmue 3 to take place in New York so that they can bring back Tom the Hot Dog Man. So he's dancing. He goes, "Hi, Ryo. I'm always chilling, man." And he has like a weird ambiguous accent, and he's great.
I find it weird the fact that why would Shenmue 3 come out now? I mean, that game would crash.
It would crash and burn. The not only way they could do it is with Kickstarter, because then they know they've got the funding.
Yeah. It's going to be a Dreamcast 2 launch title.
Aren't these games being released for Dreamcast?
They're always
it's like one of those consoles where you get weird developers releasing games.
It's the console that just wouldn't die.
Motherfucking Jet Set Radio. That's what.
Oh god, I'm going to... Oh.
What?
Nothing. It's me in the background, ignore me.
Oh, okay.
Understand the concept of love.
It's the sequel.
Understand.
But
that's,
I don't want
that's
to.
That's Jet Set Radio Future. It's not Jet Set Radio. Jet Set Radio is Super Brother. Super Brother. And it's terrible. But the music overall is pretty good.
The concept of love.
Yeah, I just checked. There's still, like, shoot 'em ups being released on Dreamcast for some reason.
Yeah, I saw them at one of these stores that sells games that isn't GameStop. Huh, funny that.
Those don't exist. Don't lie.
I live in New York. They exist here.
I think we've got one over here, where I am at least.
You got three.
Oh, boy.
The music just turns me on. I'm going to replay that game. Fucking rules.
You're a man who loves his Dreamcast.
I did love my Dreamcast. Would you turn that radio off? I'm trying to get to sleep.
I would also watch a Shenmue anime.
Oldie but a goodie.
I totally would. If it had an English dub with the voice actors.
Oh yes, obviously. It wouldn't be the same without the English voice actors, I don't think.
No.
Like, I'm surprised it's popular in Japan where it probably has good voice acting.
Yeah. Because the English voice acting was done in Japan, because Yu Suzuki had to watch over it. So they had to get, like, the only English voice actors who lived in Japan. And he also wanted them to look like their characters.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, Corey Marshall got hired because he looks like Ryo and he knows Kung Fu. And they hired as Ryo.
I love that, like, what advert must they have posted? Like, must look exactly like this dude and know Kung Fu.
They should get Ruben Langdon to do it. They should get Ruben Langdon to do everything, though, realistically. Guy that does Dante and Ken in Street Fighter.
How did they get... did they just hire an alien for Tom? Like, how did they get a guy who looks like him?
No one knows.
Crowdsourcing.
I like crowdsourcing. I like everything about it. I think it's a good idea, as long as you're not an idiot and back, "Hi, I'm John Video Games. I have over 700 years experience making video games," you know.
"Hi, I'm John..." Oh, God.
God. That will never not be funny to me.
Crowdfunding is a great idea. Let's hope that it stays up in the future.
It seems sustainable, to be honest. You know, with Steam Greenlight and Kickstarter and Indiegogo, it seems like the way that lots and lots of games are becoming funded.
Okay. It's my turn to talk about a game.
It is.
Stop sounding so depressed, happy man.
It's obviously a really serious topic.
This is the happy podcast.
Brave
you must
new
be happy
world.
Or you'll be culled.
Oh, Brave New World.
New expansions for Civilization 5. It looks fucking rad.
It does look
fuck
pretty good.
Yeah.
Although again, it strikes me as one of those things that they took out of Civ 4 and then forgot to put in Civ 5 until they expanded it.
It's
bit
two
like
things.
Religion.
Okay, I want them to bring back two things from Civ 4 right off the bat. The Sulu... and the Baba Yetu.
Oh, God. bar.
Yes, Baba Yetu. That's the first fucking thing I thought when I booted
also
up.
Also, Leonard Nimoy. Like, this it is needs good, more Leonard Nimoy.
Let's be honest, it's not Baba Yetu.
Oh, Nimoy, yeah, Leonard and, Nimoy as well. What so we, lost, oh, yeah. we lost it.
Corporations, we need that back too. That's pretty rad. Anyway, so Civ 5, Brave New World, is going to have 9 new Civs. 3 have been revealed. It's Poland, Assyria, and Brazil. You're represented. There's going to be an ideology system which adds on to the culture aspect in the late game. It's going to come in around the industrial era, I think. I don't know what it entails yet, but there's going to be international trade routes in which you get like trader units, which you can send across the sea or across land to trade with other cities.
So
and you
cool.
can do shit like within your own country. You can send food and like production material from cities to cities. So you start up a new city, you send food and production there from the other cities to help it boost. So really good. I like that idea. Because it's really annoying to like build a new city late game. It just gets nowhere. There's going to be a World Congress, which allows like countries which allows allied countries to like you can establish trade sanctions against other countries. You can have like nuclear weapons treaties and stuff like that. It's going to be Olympic Games, and you're going to vote on who hosts them.
Google, why are you typing furiously?
I'm typing furiously.
I'm just curious. Furiously. How are they going to make an army out of half naked women, soccer players, and trannies?
I don't know. Work with a fucking...
Oh god, why?
Oh yeah, actually, Brazil's unique ability, it's the carnival. They get double tourism. they have a golden age, they get double tourism. Which is another new concept, tourism. I don't know what it does at all, but it's there. They haven't said anything about
it's
really.
It's culture related, I think.
Yeah. There's going to be a crossover with Civilization XCOM, because the XCOM squad is now a unit in Civ.
Excellent, I like this.
Yeah, it's a
I,
nice...
I saw a screenshot of this, apparently, and I looked in the corner, it said 500 AD, and there were these space soldiers running about.
Well, that's a testing screenshot, it was just a beta.
No, technically that's possible, though, because in Civ 5, if you really early on in the game, you get a good run of ruins where you get a tech up for a unit, you can do that. It's possible.
Well...
Because I have had musketmen in the like first 10 turns of the game because I've got ruins one after the other that have teched up
that's
the unit.
That's impossible.
It wasn't in the early versions of Civ 5. It might be now, though.
Okay. Anyway, the XCOM squad is a late-game paratrooper unit, and they can
fantastic.
Drop anywhere within a 40-tile range of your borders, which I play on small maps, so that's pretty much the entire world. They can come up anywhere.
Fantastic.
What if there was actually a new game type where aliens invade? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Alien civilizations.
I'm still waiting on the mod kit for XCOM, and it's not happening.
Oh. Also, they changed how great artists work, so there's now, like, artists, writers, and musicians, and they each produce a great work, and it's all, like, historical. Like, there's Peter Bruegel, and he paints the Tower of Babel, and there's Edvard Grieg, and he composes the Hall of the Mountain King, and still stuff like that, and you can place them in your cities, like in museums, and concert halls, or whatever.
Oh, does that give, like, tourism. A constant culture bonus or something,
it gives
I guess?
A tourism boost.
Can I rob them from
something.
Other players?
No.
You can
what
kill
I
people.
Have you like, my master in is
and
send my master thief to go steal like the Mona Lisa or some shit.
Can have like the plot of Ocean's 11 happening.
Oh yeah, and you can go. There's an archaeology system. Once you discover archaeology, you can go back to sites of like ancient wars, and you can find like things to put in your museums.
You mean
from
I can
wars.
Like I can have a war early in the game and then late in the game I can go back to where I had it, pick up some relics for culture.
Yeah.
Apparently they're not gonna let you cheese that, so you're not gonna be able to just have wars and then go, oh, I'm gonna min max this. So it's randomly selected from fights across the globe.
So cool. Yeah, me and Doya recently picked up Civ 5 because it was on sale on Green Man Gaming for £4. Which is an excellent price. And yeah, the game's really good.
It's good. It's fun.
It was a faff getting the multiplayer started.
Yes,
but
the multiplayer is just a faff in general in Civ 5. It's appalling the way they made it work.
At first, it wouldn't work at all because we were like we had Hamachi and Dropbox and stuff up, and apparently that makes it break.
Yep.
The Tech2 support are actually really, really helpful.
They're decent.
And
they're decent.
They're the first support. Like, Steam support sometimes are just kind of rude to people. but Take-Two are really nice. So yeah, that happened, and I've lost at least 15 hours of my life to it already, and I only bought it recently, and I have work to do. Yeah. What is this?
I picked up the new Monster Hunter on, I picked it up on Friday, and I now have 23 hours.
Cats, if you don't have... do you have Gods and Kings for the game?
Not yet, because it hasn't been on
sale. Highly recommend
it.
It makes it so much better.
Yeah, it basically turns it into Civ 4 again, or large parts of Civ 4, which is... It's one of the key criticisms of the game when it was released was that a lot of the stuff that was in Civ 4 that was really good was taken out from Civ 5, and it really needed it for just color.
That's okay. I always like playing, like, if I'm introduced to a game, even if I've got an expansion, I'll play the vanilla version first, that I can get used to everything there. And then once I begin to get bored with that, I move on to the expansion.
But it was one of the reasons why Civ 5 was lauded as pretty much of a disappointment when it came out. It was missing so much in terms of the depth.
I just want to say one thing about Civ before we move on. If you play multiplayer, if you play Montezuma or Ramses, fuck you.
Yep.
Really?
Montezuma.
I almost played Montezuma, but I heard he was a bit shit. I played Montezuma in Civ 4.
No, Montezuma's strong, but I just say if you play as him in multiplayer.
Yeah. Why?
Because you get early guys.
Early cheesing, essentially.
Yeah, if you build a lot of early guys, when you upgrade those guys, their unique ability sticks.
They get culture per kill, so...
Also
you then
move
go and
move
make
fast
a war.
Jungle.
You can make war and get a culture victory at the same time, which is really, really strong.
You just build a lot of early guys at Montezuma. You pretty much got it made.
Yeah,
I still remember the first Civ. I had that. I got it on for DOS on
many
a CD. I got it on a CD-ROM.
Oh, wow, a CD?
Yeah, it was with several other games. It was with two other games. And it had you wandered around and you set up and you looked at cities. And then when you died, it was it showed a picture of someone in the modern era uncovering the ruins of your civilization. Mm-hmm. It was here lies King Toilet, ruler of such and such. Because I was, being 12 years old.
Yeah,
obviously.
Being 12 years old.
That happens in Civ 5, though. Well, they don't have found the tomb of King Toilet, but they uncover an ancient statue.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah,
I also like how you can name your religions now as well. That pleases me.
Yeah.
You can name your individual units when they level up.
Yes, you
can.
Oh,
hail Pun-Pun.
I've done that plenty of times.
I love naming things. I'm glad they realize that naming things is one of the funnest things about Civ.
Last game I played is America, and all my units got different basketball team names. It's pretty ballin'. So my first swordsman were the Miami Heat or whatever. It was great.
Yeah. But I love playing Japan and finally getting samurai, because once you get samurai, if you get there quick enough, you've probably won, if you know how to use them properly.
When you're Japan and you don't have any steel nearby, though, basically fucked.
No iron is your... Oh, God.
I have a mod for Civ called Gods and Kings Enhanced, and it changes a lot of stuff. Like Japan, instead of getting zero bombers, they get dojos. So if you have a unit in a city with a dojo, they slowly gain experience. It's really strong.
I don't want to go off topic. Just ask Happyman about Civ 5.
Yeah, I can spurg about that game more than
I
any other game.
About
I think.
Technically, the problem is he's now on topic because the topic is Civ 5.
Yeah. That's the two things I can spurg about forever. It's Civ 5 and Earthbound.
Yeah, I've seen it. I said, your Steam is always Happyman is playing Civ 5, just always.
Yeah.
Civ 5 is the ultimate time waster. It's so fun to play. You can play it so long. Also, what if next expansion had Baba Yatu with dubstep?
No.
No.
They all said in unison.
And they didn't give you an option to disable it.
It just played all the time at max volume. No. And it installed its own sound driver so that it couldn't be muted. Excellent. Yes, I approved it.
Anyway, please, Mr. Meyer, let me hear Baba Yatu again in Civ.
I'm dead.
Please. And let's
just keep it as the permanent theme tune.
Let me beat a Sulu and spear White Devils.
I don't think Sid Meier has anything to do with it anymore.
No, he doesn't, I know.
They just slap his name on it like people slap Tom Clancy's name around as if it has anything
Tom
to do
Clancy,
with anything.
Tom Clancy.
Okay, Catman, the ball is in your court, yo.
I don't have any news.
Then it's time for my last one, which is easily the funniest one I have this week. No, this week, this month.
You hyped me up now. This better be good.
It's about BioWare. Yeah, we got that back
oh,
now.
Oh, no.
BioWare.
Wouldn't be a podcast without BioWare.
Dragon Age 3 is stunningly beautiful, says Dev.
I bet it is.
Nope. Speaking to OXM, BioWare's Neil Thompson revealed that the game's artists have been left disappointed in the past over how their visions were realized using BioWare's own Eclipse engine, but we're feeling very positive now. Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2 were both done using BioWare's own Eclipse engine, and it was starting to creak a little bit when 2 came out. Inquisition is being done on the Frostbite 2 engine, and it's an astonishingly powerful engine. There was a pre-production period where almost on a weekly basis I'd be sitting in the environment reviews and being blown away by what was coming out. It looks stunningly beautiful. So I think when we do start releasing screenshots, people won't be disappointed. There's a whole article with like a BioWare developer talking about how good the game looks, but there's no screenshots or anything. We're just supposed to take his
You're
word for it.
You're just gonna take his word for it. It yeah, looks like, really
this
good.
Game,
this I trust him.
This game's great. Yeah, you know, you can trust me because I'm working on it.
I mean, there's two things about this that annoy me. Number one is that Dragon Age 2 looked a lot worse than Dragon Age 1
that
for seemingly
sucks.
No conceivable reason. Like, just stuff like the hair and skin textures and the color of things just looked abysmal for no reason.
It's because they didn't have as much
no
work
reason.
Done on them.
And the second thing is Frostbite 2. Does that mean everything's going to be washed out and blue?
Does that mean we'll have, be advised, there's a wraith nearby? Is that what we're going to have? Be advised.
The developers talking about how good their games are not first things. Like, just look at how Sega talk about aliens and whatever, marines.
No one trusts anyone anymore.
I don't think people
just
should.
Just for once, I would like a game developer to be interviewed and just go, you know what? I really fucking like Trackmania.
Trackmania is fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Trackmania is...
Yeah. We talked about it last time. It is good.
But I
was doing some research into that for my column, actually.
Go on. Oh, is this thingamajiggy doodad? Whatchamacallit?
Yeah, sure.
Sweet.
Just like picking up some videos and stuff. Some of it's very impressive, especially like the world run times and people racing against each other. They come within like split seconds of each other.
Oh yeah, that's common, very common in the games. Have you actually played it yet, or
tiny bit?
Tiny bit. Okay. In most servers, you'll find that there are people within split seconds of each other. You don't tend to compete against the person in first. You compete against the person that's above you, if that makes sense.
Maybe.
Yeah, it gives times relative to the person above you, doesn't it? So
I can't remember if it's. I think the time is you. The times it gives are usually relative to the person in first. But you tend to look at the scoreboard and go, "Oh, okay, that person's above me. I'm going to go for them next." And you try to beat the person above you, and then once you hit that. You go above that. That's my experience, at least.
I've been first many times in Trackmania, but then maybe I just play on servers filled with scrubs.
Possibly.
Because I'm not very good at racing games.
But then, when you're first, it then becomes the issue of how long am I going to remain in first?
Oh,
shit,
you can
I must
be in
better.
First, like, and immediately someone, like, overtakes you with, like, 5 seconds. You're like, well, that was nice while
well,
it lasted.
Well,
it's better
Trackmania
to have
does...
loved and lost.
Well, what Trackmania does well is they normally have, like a record for the server as a whole, not just the game you're in.
Yes,
so you can sort of look
well.
At whoever's, like, you say you like, you see it, you go, oh, I'm 79th for some reason.
And depending on the quality of the server, you may then also get the world record for that track. So then you have to go, oh shit, I'm in the lead by 10 seconds. No, you're not. You're actually losing by 12 seconds. Go away.
It's crazy.
Go away and get good.
On the topic of Trackmania, I'd just like to make a side tangent. I love the word mania as a suffix.
Yep.
It just makes everything
shoot
better.
Mania.
Like,
shoot
yeah,
mania.
Shoot mania, track mania.
Quest mania.
Good things end. Good things don't end in Eam.
Beatlemania, WrestleMania, it's all good.
Porteria.
Dick mania.
Yeah, dick mania, that's a thing.
Cut mania.
Podcast mania.
Oh, shit. Podcast mania.
Castlevania mania.
Castlevania.
No Metroid one mentions. Oh my god! So someone mentioned Animaniacs already.
Oh no! You see, we purposefully avoided that. You fell into our trap.
You've been coaxed into a snafu.
I'm just going to leave that awkward silence there.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
In the edit, that'll be there. That awkward silence will be there.
You'll extend.
I have actually genuinely extended awkward silences twice as long as they were in the original recording, and no one has called me out on it.
You fucking asshole.
Journalistic integrity. Journalistic integrity.
Was one of them the silence after you talking about that one game last time?
Which game?
I don't remember, but you went on and on about ranting about some game, and it just went completely silent.
I think everyone fell asleep, Katman.
That's right. I might have, actually.
I just got double hip checked. Go me.
And how are the hips? Are they good?
They're very checky.
Don't they lie?
They probably don't lie, no. They do catch me out.
My first Raytheon, pink Raytheon today. I'm happy about that. I haven't.
Bastard.
I mean, I got the game first. I'm US Master Race.
So you say. I need to find some herbs. I have no healing. Damn it.
So, can we do the what have you been playing? Actually, no. Before we do the what have you been playing segment, I've just remembered something that I found on the internet. That was going to be the return of the Dodsy is now playing Sid Meier's Civilization 5.
I can't help it, I'm addicted.
You need to find some support groups, man. It's not good for you.
I'm going to show you some solidarity.
Oh, no.
There's a reason I installed a mod that added a clock into the corner. Yeah. Just lose track of time.
Happy Man is now playing Civilization 5. Excellent. Now, by talking about Civilization 5, we've brought it back.
Damn it, I need to find herbs.
You do need to find herbs.
I need to find herbs. I need
to find that danky kush. Smoke it every day.
I'm going to die.
I guess most of you have played Deus Ex already, right? Human Revolution?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, my point is, why are they releasing it again for the Wii U? I don't understand the game is like... When did it come out?
Oh, yeah, they're releasing it again for the Wii U. And they're going to fix all the boss fights so they're
yes,
not
that's
shit.
My point. They're going to fix the boss fights.
So they're going to remove the
Wii U
fight.
Is going to be the definitive version of the game.
The director's cut. Oh, yeah, I hope they fix the reflections. All of the mirrors somehow are broken. I don't know if I'm going to buy the game, seeing as I already played it twice on the PC. And
I actually haven't played the game, and... Oh, I can hear myself. Lovely. I actually haven't played the game at all, but I'm still not going to buy this.
I hope all the fixes they make get ported to the PC version.
Yeah, most likely...
Most
likely the director's cut's going to come to the PC at some point.
I would play that.
Apparently the Wii U version is also going to bring the official strategy guide will bring it like incorporated inside the game for the Wii U owners. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe so they don't get lost with so many hardcore games they have.
Also, I think Wii U is perfect for Deus Ex. Like, there's so much time in Deus Ex that's spent looking at computer screens and keypads and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So having that on the Wii U pad is really cool.
Inventory
on
there.
We were predicting that long before this came out, and then they did it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm pleased by that. This pleases me.
I hope they make the hacking game of the game more. I don't know, more fun with the U controller. I don't know, the hacking game in the PC version is just like picking up the icons and hoping your you have the logs so don't activate the alarm or something.
No way, it's all about APM.
It was most about percentages, about anything else than logs.
I don't think so. I think the percentages were very unimportant. I think it was mostly about maximizing your output in the shortest amount of time. I frequently fought the alarm and didn't give a fuck about the percentages.
Oh, herbs somewhere, please!
Maybe it's both. Who says a game can't have multiple gameplay styles?
Very true.
Isn't that what DSX is about as well, in fairness?
Modern developers say this.
Like, you just had to focus on maximizing out, reinforcing all of your nodes, and capturing as many nodes as you possibly could as fast as you could.
Talking about the defense, about the nodes you made in Deus Ex, the first time I played the game, I didn't know make more powerful your own nodes. I didn't know that until the second time I played the game, and I noticed the icon. What was it called? Empower? I don't know what it was. Defend, something like that. Yeah, I didn't know the icon
fortify,
was there.
Fortify.
It was fortify.
I understood that all in the demo.
You talk about nodes. All I can think about is Gabe Newell.
Gabe,
I'm trying to work out what Gabe Newell has to do with nodes now.
His commentary track on Team Fortress 2.
Oh god, nodes.
Commentary node.
Talking about commentary nodes.
Hello? This is Gabe Ben.
They're gonna add those commentary as well in Deus Ex Human Revolution for Wii U.
You're gonna see, just like
in Bob games, you see the floating comments and you can just walk through them and they start talking. Apparently, Deus Ex is going to have the same system. You're going to see the nose floating and you just walk there and they start talking.
Sounds like the port's going to be worth the wait then.
Hey. I'm going to die. This is going to happen. This is a thing that will now happen.
I will assist you, Moogle, with...
Comment of the week, or something like that.
Yay!
This is back. This is back, and it's starting right now. For every old tied up fat Sparky enjoying himself, loving the half he has been fattened, fully complete, permanently deletized, and fully wrapped up, tied up, rope mummified. All
temporarily
tied up all over from his fully deletized head to his fully deletized feet. A full permanent bologna body. Complete permanent bologna head.
Two permanent bologna and ham ears.
Two permanent bologna ham lips. A huge, thick, permanent bologna ham and cheese tongue. Two permanent bologna feet. A permanent bologna tail. Permanent bologna organs. And permanent bologna insides.
At last, I can't believe a permanent ham nose.
Oh, fuck. Forever ill tied up fat Sparky jumps around everywhere and every place, happily tied up, wrapped, rope mummified, and fully deletized, and licks everyone and everything he can with his huge, thick, permanent bologna ham and cheese tongue.
Let's talk about what we've been playing instead.
Sure,
let's not talk about
sure
this.
That wasn't a fan fiction or something.
That's... So, and there's the picture, which is, of course,
what have
a
you been
Pikachu
playing?
Made of bologna.
I'm hungry now.
How are you hungry after that?
I heard something about bologna.
Yeah.
I think I heard bologna and, like, subconsciously repressed anything else about it.
There's others I could read, but they're not about video games. And the guy,
because that was totally about video games. There,
that wasn't. It's about a Pikachu made of bologna.
Let's not go there anymore.
Let's not go there. Let's clarify this for the viewers. This is from a like DeviantArt account that like has a weird sandwich fetish or something, and the guy like draws video game characters that have been turned into bologna and cheese or whatever, and it has these crazy descriptions about it. Yeah, deletized.
And he uses the words like deletized and forever ill and tied up all as one word, always.
And permanently bologna.
And he says permanently like every single sentence.
Okay. Can we stop talking about that now, please?
Why?
I would love to stop talking about this now. I would love to stop talking about this now.
Freedom.
You know,
I still want bologna.
At least
there
it's
is
not
no
comics
hope
Nicks
for you. Then there is no hope for you.
At least it's not comics Nicks.
He goes on in the comments about how there's like ketchup, tomato, and taco sauce blood type
please
running
stop.
Through below his veins.
Please.
Shut up. I don't want to hear it.
I'm glad I've made Happy this. Man grumpy. He was almost happy talking about Civ 5. I'm glad I've gone and ruined his day now.
This is supposed to be you. The positive Pugsy podcast.
I'm going to talk about what I've been playing.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me think. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I broke your brain.
I bought
Civ 5?
No, I bought The Elder Scrolls Skyrim back in the Christmas Steam sale, and I didn't remember that I had it until just recently. And I was like, hey, I have this game. And I downloaded it. I installed it and downloaded it, and when I launched, I couldn't play it. Because it opens the launcher that it always does, and when I click play, it just relaunches the launcher. It doesn't launch the game. I tried fixing this for 2 hours. As it turns out, a new patch was applied recently, and some people just got fucked, basically. Like, some people can't play it. Like, there is a way to fix it, but if it doesn't work for you, there's nothing you can do. So I went to a great site called the Pirate Bay, and I stole it.
Wow.
I stole the game. And it worked. It worked perfectly.
You wouldn't
no problem.
Download an Elder Scroll.
So good work, Bethesda. Make a game that fucking works, will you?
Todd Howard does not know the meaning of the words QA testing. We've established this.
He just knows about mountains and how you can climb them.
All of them.
I've actually haven't played any video games like last time we've talked. I've been drinking for every weekend since
I have time to play games also. Anyway, the game is okay. Some things are better than Oblivion. Like, dragons are a lot better than Oblivion Gates to fight. Fucking hate Oblivion Gates, fuck those. It looks better, I guess. I don't mind the tech tree that it has. I think it improves on it a bit.
Too bad the combat is shit.
Yeah, the combat's not good. I was getting to that. I like smithing. There's a lot of good. But it really bothers me that they took out athletics and acrobatics. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't too bothered that they took out spears from Morrowind. A lot of people hated that, but I didn't mind.
But I love jumping everywhere, too.
I want to go fast, man. Everywhere. I want to be fast.
Mm. Gotta go fast.
Yeah, the combat is really poor, especially if you're trying to use magic. Because instead of just having magic and having a button to cast it, you like assign magic to your hands.
Yeah.
And it's really clunky because you have to keep switching. The menus are pretty clunky in general, like...
That's because they're console menus.
Yeah. Like, people complain about Oblivion being consoleized. That's nothing compared to Skyrim.
It's because they took inspiration, and this was their words from Apple for the menus.
Yeah.
I like the menus in Skyrim.
Get out.
I like the design of them.
What are we talking about? Skyrim?
Mm-hmm. I've been...
I think too many video game menus are made by, obviously, people who are game designers, and they just try and cram as much information onto the screen as possible. Like, oh, no more wasted space. And people... Like, even on a subconscious level, people don't take it in as fast if there's too much stuff on the screen.
I kind of like what they tried to do, but I don't think they did it very well, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, well, they're Bethesda, obviously, so they won't have done it well.
So far, I've been avoiding doing the main quest, which is the standard issue for, you know, Elder Scrolls games.
Actually, I'll say that. Go and do it up until you get Fuzro and Dar. And then stop doing the main quest.
Oh, I actually
got... Then you get Fuzro Dar, and then you're all set once you have that.
I actually got Fuzz without even, like... doing the main quest.
You'll get Fuzz every single game, pretty much.
Yeah, but, like, I did it before I even started the main quest. I just found it.
Rowan Dar, I think you have to do the quest to get them, and those are worth having. I would get that first.
Yeah, Companions quest is cool. I'm a werewolf now. It's pretty neat.
I never did the Companions quest.
You can choose not to be a werewolf, but I did because those are red.
I never.
I don't think you can actually do any kind of completion with the companion's quests without becoming a werewolf.
Yeah, get on the floor, Peiko.
There's a choice not to do it. I didn't take it because I wanted to be a wolf man, but I wouldn't be Teen Wolf, Altered Beast, if you will. But whenever you did the wise from your wave thing. You're standing still for a really long time. And so if I want to, like, turn in front of a guy when fighting him, he'll just kill me. Because he just keeps swinging at me while I'm wising for my grave.
I never paid attention to the companions in Skyrim. I mean, I think the only one I know of, and because it's part of the story, is Lydia. I mean, that's the only one that I have seen in the game. I don't know if the, if any of the if any others exist. I don't know, and I have played that game many hours, to be honest.
Is there a Dark Brotherhood questline?
Yes.
Yeah. It, yeah. I think I started it.
Is it the best questline, like in Oblivion?
Best.
It's the last worst.
It's the least worst. I didn't think any of the questing in Skyrim was any good at all. I'm going to be honest. Even the Daedric ones, and I love Daedric quests usually. The Daedric quests in Skyrim quest were among my favourite.
Yeah, at least the quest salvaged it in Oblivion, because they had some decent quests. But, you know, in Skyrim, they kind of just take this
quests.
Claw, go into dungeon, solve this puzzle which you've already done 10 times, rinse
kill
and repeat.
Something.
Yeah. I
really take this
like...
to this person. Oh, this person doesn't happen to be here. Oh, he's been kidnapped in a dungeon. Oh, no. Better go into the dungeon.
I really like the like randomly generated things. Like you go into an inn, you ask, is there a bounty? And the guy goes, yeah, here's a bounty.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
And you go and get that guy who has a bounty on him and you get money for it. I just like that, you know?
The way I ended up playing the game was
I like having
exploring.
Something to do without having just a huge like story dropped on me. Just go kill this dude. Anyway, go on.
A lot of games have said they're going to take cues from Skyrim. I think Witcher 3 mentioned something about Skyrim. Dragon Age 3.
I really hope
they only mentioned it in the context of Witcher. Only mentioned it in the context of here's how we won't be doing our open world RPG.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess.
Talking about open world, what's the guy that is the director of the Zelda games? What's the name of it?
The other guy.
Didn't he say that he wanted to make like a somewhat open game for the next Zelda game?
Yes.
I mean, sounds how like is that idea. Gonna work exactly? Like something like Skyrim, or I don't know, maybe something like the first Zelda where
this
you didn't actually have no idea where the fuck you were supposed to go.
Link to the
They're never gonna do anything like the first Zelda ever again, I think.
No,
but
I don't
the
think
one
they
thing
will.
That they said about this next game was that they wanted non-linear dungeon order. They want you to be able to complete dungeons in order that you decide,
which
rather than
nice.
The game forces on you.
I don't like
that.
The first Zelda did that, to be honest. The first Zelda did that. I mean, you have no idea where you were supposed to go, and you could
you
just
no
go anywhere.
Yeah.
You could do any dungeon at any point. So
the first Zelda is magical.
It is.
Right. People complain that the Zelda games, like, they'll give you an item in a dungeon, you'll use it for that dungeon, then you'll never use it again.
Yes.
If you make it so that people can beat the dungeons in any order, that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen, because you can't design for having gotten an item in a previous dungeon. So don't wish for that, please. That's going to make the dungeons worse. Non-linearity
Metroid makes it work. If Metroid can make it work, then so can something like Zelda. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I don't think so. There are
in
too
Metroid,
many design considerations.
Argument. Metroid has less defined overworld and dungeons than Solid does.
Yeah.
All of
Focus
Metroid is a dungeon.
On Zelda's strengths rather than the weaknesses. If you want non-linearity, then push more side quests in there. That's what you should be doing.
I'm not convinced of that.
Skyward Sword slim pickings. Side questing in Zelda is really fun.
Side questing in Zelda is really fun.
Majora's Mask is one of my favorite games because of it. I mean, there's so much shit to do in Majora's Mask. You don't really care about the lack of dungeons in it.
Very true.
Not that it was particularly lacking. There were 4 dungeons and 2 mini-dungeons.
That's quite small for a Zelda game, though. Although, that said, the next one after that was Wind Waker, which had quite a few...
It had, like, 7 dungeons
in
total. Lots were cut, and the dungeons that they had were quite small and easy. And the final dungeon made you do a Capcom-style refight of all the bosses so far.
Which I have no real issues with, because I like boss runs. I'm one of the few people... I know I'm not...
I like boss runs when it's an option in the menu and I choose it. I don't like it when I'm...
That's also one of the reasons I really like Metal Gear Solid 2, by the way, because Metal Gear Solid 2 had a boss option, which is awesome, and more games should do that.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Especially Zelda.
I think Zelda needs better combat. I still
think
the combat system is really
Zelda
dull.
Zelda needs better combat?
Dude.
Yes.
Skyward Sword is awesome combat.
You know which Zelda? You know which Zelda had good combat? It was Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess had a lot of moves. Twilight Princess had a lot of moves you could use in battle, but the different enemies didn't enable you to be able to use all of the moves you wanted. Yeah, I mean, you only had to use one of them,
like
the
Iron Knuckles towards the end.
God, whenever we start talking about Zelda, everybody starts talking over each other, because it's the only thing that everyone has an opinion on.
Yeah.
Zelda as it exists right now is weak.
Is it, though?
I think Skyward Sword is pretty balling.
I'm one of those few people that actually enjoyed Skyward Sword.
High five,
Skyward
fucker,
Sword
I love
was
that
the
game.
Worst game in the series.
I thought Skyward Sword was decent.
Skyward Sword was the worst game
really
in the entire
like
fucking series.
It, but there's lots that I really do like about it. I really, really like the dungeon design.
I hated all the dungeons. None of the dungeons were challenging in any way whatsoever.
They
don't
need to be challenging. It's a Zelda game. It's not meant to be hard.
Skyward Sword is far from the worst.
It still is hard if you put hero mode on, but yes, it was a bit too easy, which was one of my downsides about it. But I like the enemy design for the most part, although I think they reused quite a lot, mostly because they had to have bipedal enemies to a large extent that could block in certain directions. To make use of their little gimmicky eight-way directional. Nine ways if you count the stab. But I quite like that they actually went and tried that. I mean, it's different.
Skyward
to be fair, they tried standard Zelda combat in Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. They tried remixing it up from the one they did in Ocarina and Majora's Mask. And it works very well, but I like that they try something different.
I don't think any 3D Zelda games ever really had that great combat.
None of them have really had that good combat then, when you think about it. I mean, 2D Zelda combat is not great, really.
I don't like 2D Zelda combat. I don't play 2D Zeldas for the combat.
I don't think anyone does.
Skyward Sword is far from the worst Zelda game, you kidding me? Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks, those are way worse.
I never played
Phantom Hourglass.
And if you say those are not canon...
depressing game.
They are canon, because they're in Hyrule Historia, thus they are canon.
Yeah, but a lot of people say when I say Phantom Hourglass is where, that's not a real Zelda game, because it's not on home consoles. Well, I guess Link's Awakening is not a real Zelda game either. Yeah, I know,
anyone?
It's my point too.
Why couldn't they just make a game like Link's Awakening? Why'd they have to fuck it up? Jesus.
People just disregard Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks as not
special.
Real Zelda games for no reason.
I think they don't want to think of them as real Zelda
games. They don't.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. They don't want it tainting it. Whereas what you should realize is that they're all part of a learning process for the developer, and that includes good games and bad games.
True. I mean, the director for Skyward Sword was...
It's Aonuma, isn't it?
No, I'm pretty sure he was the producer, and the director was a guy who had come on from Flagship and done the DS games.
Okay.
Honestly, the direction of Skyward Sword didn't let it down at all. The only thing that let it down, as far as I'm aware, was the fact that they very obviously run out of time and had to reuse a lot of assets.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only major finger I can point at it. Even the music, people said they didn't like the music. There's some good tracks in there.
There's not only good tracks, but they're all orchestrated as well. Every single track in that game is orchestrated, and that is something I can really get behind in video games.
I was waiting for the music in the dungeons in Skyward Sword, and to be honest, most of them weren't that memorable, like the ones in Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, and so on, like. I think the only two music of dungeons in Skyward Sword that I like were the Sunship and Ancient Cistern.
Ancient Cistern. That's one of my favorite temples of all time.
Yes.
All time.
I think you've seen that analysis on the old...
Yeah, it's a very good analysis. It's right up there with Stone Temple. It's got a proper narrative. It's got a proper drive. It's got a really nice flow.
Go on, just keep finishing.
It's brilliant.
I like hearing cats happy at things.
It distresses me. Thematically, it's just wonderful. Yeah.
The one that got me was the first time I went into the desert area to find the flame, so the second desert temple, and I got on the boat, and I went, how are they going to do this? It's a desert full of sand, and then, they've done that. Because you get on the boat with the time crystal on it, and everywhere where the crystal is, there's water.
I mean, the time crystal, like, towards the very end, it started getting a bit overused, but it was so cool, like, the first and probably the second dungeon with time crystals, like, changing the whole sand ship. So cool. On a technical level, quite impressive as well.
Yeah. One thing, I don't know, but I think if we keep talking about Zelda, it's never going to be over because we all love Zelda very much, and I don't think... we're going to continue with the discussion. So here.
No, can I just talk about the music for a bit?
Sure.
I don't mind Zelda. I don't hate it, but I don't love it either.
Like, the music in Skyward Sword, I like it. It's just really operatic. Like, there's main themes, like Groose's theme and Girahim's theme.
Yeah.
Yes. That, like, appropriately get reused whenever they're in scenes. Mm. Like, when Groose is sad, there's a sad version of Groose's theme playing.
Yes, exactly.
And I love operatic games. Like, Final Fantasy VI does the same thing. It's great.
Yeah. I fucking love any game where a character will have their own theme tune. Yes. Like, I love in Cave Story when Balrog busts through the ceiling and it goes, huzzah, and it goes... Like, I really... Why don't games do that as much anymore? It's brilliant.
Because they don't, and it saddens me. What I also liked about Skyward Sword was the fact that they tried what they did with Twilight Princess, which was a character-focused game, but they did it right this time, because the characters were actually decent.
I preferred Twilight Princess's characters. You hate me now.
No, I don't hate you.
I liked Midna and Zant.
I like Midna and
Twilight
I like Zant.
The people were cool.
But what they tried with Twilight Princess, you had that whole resistance movement thing that was going on.
There was just no personalities whatsoever.
Exactly. They tried to make personalities. They tried to make characters, and they failed miserably. But they did it right in Twilight Princess, because not Twilight Princess, in Skyward Sword, because you had Groose, you had Zelda, who actually had a personality this time for once. Good heavens.
She was kind of irritating, though.
Yeah, was horrible.
She had a personality, though. This is progress, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but then you get fine.
Yeah, in Twilight Princess,
horrible.
She was just like a cardboard cutout.
Mm.
But that, you had like the gang of people from the academy, and they all had like distinct personalities.
Yeah,
and you had
that
really short guy who's really funny to look at. He was
funny. The guy who's trying to get fit, and you have to get him stamina potions. Like you're like giving him steroids or something, essentially.
And then there's fucking Beedle as well.
Oh,
who
goes, yes, Beedle.
Who, like, he's in the shop and he throws you out if you don't buy anything.
Yeah. There's a trap
door. Like an asshole.
That's one of my favorite things about Skyward.
You follow him back to his hideout and he goes all thespian on you for no reason at all. It's brilliant.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic
when you
game.
You talk to Beedle and you choose not to buy something that you're looking at, and he just goes, oh! Like, he's so just disappointed and sad. He's like, when you come in, it's like, oh! And when you choose not to buy, he's like, oh!
It's a hard sell from Beedle.
I must confess, I'd forgotten about Beedle from Wind Waker, because I hadn't played Wind Waker in such a long time, so I went back to it after Skyward Sword, and I played it emulated in HD, and I got into the ship. I was like, what's in this ship? Oh!
Thank you!
He's such an asshole in everything he's in. He's such an asshole.
Oh, but Beedle. Beedle, Tingle, they're all fantastic.
Yeah, we need more Tingle in Zelda. Although Tingle's kind of his own character
now in a series
of Japan-only games.
Yeah. Poor Tingle.
They never thought they'd see that coming. They never thought they'd see fans demanding more Tingle.
Tingle is like Tingle is the warrior of Zelda. He loves money and he's a real oddball.
Yeah, that's right. And he's meant to be like he was introduced in Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
And you know how the characters in Termina are like weird versions of the characters from Hyrule? Well, the fan theory is that he's the Termina version of Link.
Yeah.
And that's
oh my disturbing. Dude, that's great.
He's just He's just a weirdo. But then again, isn't Link just a weirdo, realistically?
Really? A little bit of one,
it's like how...
But he's a charming weirdo.
Exactly.
It's like how Wario is like...
Oh, exactly,
He's Booster from Super Mario RPG.
Wah!
Well, I guess he's also the strange version of Mario, but... That's at least what I think of. Like, I played Super Mario RPG as a Booster. It's like, this guy is the... He's the predecessor to Wario. He's gotta be. He's exactly like him.
Booster Tower is such a great theme. Though.
Yeah, it is. Super Mario RPG in general is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
It's a good game. It's fun. Both Paper Mario as well, and Paper Mario is good fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy Paper Mario. I very much hope it doesn't get ruined.
It already did. Sticker Star.
I haven't played Sticker Star.
Basically, Miyamoto said, hey, you guys, you can't come up with your own characters anymore. You have to use established Nintendo characters from now on.
Aww,
and that was the death of partners.
Okay, so which was the better Mario RPG series? Was it Mario and Luigi or Paper Mario?
Ooh.
Don't make me choose.
Paper Mario for me.
I have more experience with Paper Mario, so I'm going with that, just because I have more experience with it.
I've only played the first Mario and Luigi. I've played all three Paper Mario.
Yeah, same
not
here.
Sticker Star, I haven't played that, but apparently Bowser's Inside Story is fantastic. I haven't played that yet. Probably should. Fucking love the first Mario and Luigi, so...
Does anyone have any other business that they would like to bring up at this podcast event?
I have a little news. So in the past couple of podcasts, I noticed that I seem to have a new release from Japan that doesn't have any news on whether it's not going to be localized, but I find it interesting. And this time I have a new Umihara Kawase game that's coming out for 3DS.
Oh yeah, that's really nice.
I fucking love that game on Super Nintendo, man.
Which one was this?
Cult platformer, girl fishing rod, really deep physics. People
giant
love it for speedruns.
Fish creatures.
Yeah,
I would look it up.
The enemies.
Don't think I'm aware of it, so I'm gonna have to look that one up. I'm afraid
there was actually a Game Center episode.
Yes, that was a great episode, by the way.
Let's watch the Game Center episode like this week. Let's do it.
Ooh, that's what
we should have a commentary on podcast.
It's the first episode with Inoko Max, and it's great.
GCCX is the best.
GCCX is so good.
And this speedrun will blow your fucking mind.
It makes me hopeful that whoever it is that owns it in Japan actually goes to the effort of making a stream to do it properly. They probably won't, of course, and that'll probably be just... They'll probably just die, because we can't get episodes as easy over here, but... I can live in hope.
I'm so sad they shut down the Game Center CX channels. There were two of them, actually.
Lots of Japanese people were watching it and not buying the DVDs.
Oh, man.
God damn you, Kurapiko. I will end you. But yeah, maybe we'll get lucky and they'll do a stream for Western people as well, but I have my doubts. Maybe I should stream that later on After Dark. I have a week and a half off work, so I'm quite happy at the minute.
I have many weeks off of university, which is why I even have time to play video games.
Hate you.
Hey, man, like, life at university is challenging.
Yeah,
Let me just tell you guys this. I would gladly trade places with both of you at any time, because being unemployed is very boring.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah,
very
Rob
boring.
Dyer has that. It sucks because you can't get any jobs here or anywhere right now.
Anywhere in the universe, it seems. Maybe if you go to China. On that note,
maybe you
what
go to China,
dope,
you get
by the way?
Work as a suicide.
He's right, bartending now.
Last I heard, he met this very rich, very smart, very talented lady from Taiwan.
Taiwan, that was it, wasn't it?
But he said that he wasn't sure because he didn't want to become... like some kind of trophy husband who's just paraded around because he's pretty. He is pretty.
Is he pretty? I've never seen Doak. Is he actually pretty?
He is actually genuinely quite a pretty person.
Doak actually stayed at my place for a weekend.
Did you obsess over him? I bet you obsessed over him, didn't you?
No, I did not. He's actually a really nice guy, and we talked.
Last time I talked to him, we drank a lot. And it was like 3 days ago. He's back in France already. Yeah, he's back in France.
No, not in Taiwan then. Interesting.
Okay.
So yeah, the point is that Rob Dyer is unemployed and he went for an interview and shaved his beard. And the beard looked good on him, but he was like, no, they won't employ me if I've got a beard. And I was like,
what?
I'm sure they will, really. So yeah, now that I'm talking about beards, maybe I should just end it all right now. End it all.
Yeah, how cool it would be to have a retractable beard.
I love it. He sprung this idea on us.
What?
He sprung it on us when we were playing Civ. We were like, that's a goddamn stupid idea. He's fishing for people to tell him that it's a good idea.
To bring this back to video games.
That's a good idea.
Donsky, I love you.
Unlike formal occasions, you just put away your beard rather than shaving. You suddenly find yourself in the wilderness, you go, oh man, my face is cold. And you'll just pull out your beard and go, yeah, my face is warm now. And you just go wrestle a bear or something.
Okay, what is the best video game beard?
Oh, I don't know.
Gabe Newell.
Captain Price from COD, perhaps.
I think Assassin's Creed had some good beards. The characters were shit, but the beards were actually pretty long and, like, bushy.
Otacon has a beard because he doesn't have a beard. He just has, like, Q-moogle.
Yeah, he's a weird nerd stubble.
Yeah, weird nerd stubble.
There are two, correct choices. One is the spy from TS2 with his camera beard. Two, LeChuck from Monkey Island. Firebeard.
Yeah, the fire
beard. That's a great beard.
Ghost beard, if you're playing Monkey Island 1.
Anyone have anything else to say?
I don't think so. I think we should just go.
So
we still have some sanity.
Will you be doing a podcast?
Yeah, I'm still hungry.
I mean, not a podcast. A fan fiction happy man for
us.
Oh,
shit. Well, we already did.
Yeah, you did.
If you want, I can axe the fan fiction this time. We'll have it next time.
Yeah, please.
Do we have to? We should actually do the fan fiction.
Okay.
It is a standing item on the agenda.
This is the end. I would like to plug something. If you haven't given Video Game Championship Wrestling a try, I highly recommend it.
Yes.
It is a stream where a guy he downloaded a bunch of video game characters to a wrestling game, and he puts them all as AI and has them fight. And there's a story to it, like they have in real pro wrestling.
Oh god.
It's like really cheesy and it's great.
It's never going to be Mario Retardi though, is it? Let's be honest.
It's better than Mario Retardi,
Is it better than Mario Retardi?
It's
fantastic.
I think so.
Mario Retardi is something very special, so.
I never understood the appeal to Mario Retardi.
Nor did I. It got boring because you couldn't... Like, that guy was working on a system where you could play... You could have Mario Retardi play, and viewers could place bets with virtual money on the different characters, and then it would pay out if one won or lost. But it never came to fruition. I was
That's
so disappointed.
I'm so sad. I
would totally have played that with you guys.
He was going to have his own website that just ran Mario Retardi the whole time and let people bet on it, which would have been amazing.
Oh, man. I've been saying for years now that we should have Mario Party with a betting system. It would be the leading cause of suicide in the US.
The leading cause of stigmata as well.
I was just about to say, Mario Party really needs more reasons to why you should hate your friends.
Yes, it does.
Oh, Pico, you dick. I will end you.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. Thank you all for being here and recording this. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time. In the meantime, you can go to lunchtime.org.uk, live streaming video. It's always good. And gatheryourparty.com for honest gaming journalism, which has, by the way, received a big old update and is now all spangly, and you should look at it and observe the spangliness. So that's all from me, and goodbye, and have a lovely day.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
See you, motherfuckers.
How can an update be old?
Daisy and Toadette must trade stars. And Daisy is at 19, and Toadette is 0.
Why is that even a thing? Must stars.
Trade stars.
You know the worst thing about being in lead of technology in Civ 5? Everyone just spies on you, and then you have to forgive them every time, or else everyone just goes to war with you eventually.
Dodsky, Kasper, are you
sounds a bit
Google
like
place, please?
Real life, to be honest with you.
It's always China. China said war to me, even though we had a defensive pact, and then she declared all of my cities, besides my capital, for peace. And I was like, no!
Dude, I had a situation where I was CM, and France declared war at me. That ended up lasting like 100 years.
Yeah, I got your beak. No, I didn't get your beak.
They didn't really like try a big invasion. Like every few turns, they would send just a few boats at my city, and I would kill those boats. And after that, France would demand all of my cities for peace, and I would refuse. And he would send more boats, and I would kill the boats. And again, he would demand all my cities, and continue like that for 100 years.
sounds like real life.
Command and conquer level AI right there.
Catsman, Lord Doddington, will you by any chance be dropping by Mooglepie's place when I come there?
Probably not. They don't know where I am.
Where are you?
I know where you are.
I'm in Kent.
You're in Kent. I don't know. I'll be in Leeds, and I have to be there for my studies most of the time, and I don't really get much. I don't get holidays aside from these. I don't get like reading weeks or anything, so it's kind of hard.
It still doesn't know when he's coming, so that's even less than helpful.
Yeah, that is. If you're coming during the summer, then I'll see.
That's definitely during the summer sometime.
That could be neat. We could have GLA Fest UK, and it would be a fest, like a proper fest.
It would be.
You just want to say,
we'll invite Wan Wan, and he'll never show up.
Yeah. Invited Wan Wan to one of our fests, and he was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to come, and then the time came around, he didn't show up. I was like, Wan Wan, and he complained at me for never inviting him to things for the longest time. I'm like, fuck off, Wan Wan. He's such a jerk.
It's Wan Wan General. Wan Wan General.
He plays with my heart. That's the problem. He plays with my heart.
But I was just thinking Mario Party. You guys.
By a fest, it does mean like four people in a front room drinking beer and playing Mario Party. But that's okay. I need that in my life sometimes.
It would be for the first GLA Fest I actually have over abroad and not in my apartment.
Fucking Pico, break your beak, damn you! Stop limping! I haven't cut your beak yet.
I hope your game of Mario Party ends in a fight like Catman's first Mario Party.
No, that wasn't the first one. Maybe it was. One we streamed. We've been doing Mario Party since like March 20.
The last one is what I meant to say.
2009. Yeah, the last one. The last one ended in a televised fight until my laptop ran out of battery.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
You were drunk.
It just consisted of me.
You went into the garden and you wanted a fight with Blake, and Blake was like, "Are you entirely sure that's right?" And you were like, "Yeah." And you like pranced around for a bit, and then Blake punched you in the nipple, and you said it hurt.
That's exactly how it happened.
I fought Fireball Dan last time we had a party. It was pretty rad. I think he won. I don't remember it entirely, but I woke up with like bruises.
I do remember one time he was either Mario Party or it was Drunken Mario 64, and he just took off his trousers on camera. That was amazing.
That was me, because the Burl asked me to. He's my constant friend. He's my constant friend and companion.
Happy. In your excuse, you have a tendency of taking off your pants when you get drunk.
Oh, I do?
Yeah,
so you could have left him without knowledge of that, Shawnee.
So, can you guys hear, like, every time I take a breath?
I've heard lots of Shawnee's breathing in the past.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like, I listened to the last recording, and I'm like, wow, you can hear every time I finish a sentence, I breathe in.
Most people
do.
The
thing is, I'm on a laptop mic.
It's okay, Shawnee. I like the sound of you breathing.
Will Smith or somebody does that.
When he's lying in bed to you. Is that Nibble Snuff? None of these are Nibble Snuff. Which one of these is Nibble Snuff?
You get, what is at some a Nibble point, Snuff? You're going to have to tell me what a Nibble Snuff is.
You don't want to know what a Nibble Snuff is.
No, we do.
I'm just going to take it for granted that it's something really perverted.
It is indeed something really perverted.
So, surely...
Now you have to tell us what it is.
Would you like to come back to my place for a game of Boggle?
Boggle! Yes, Boggle!
Right, something about Bioshock guy causing a shitstorm because of he said that he got roofed.
Oh, Jesus, what is this? What?
Ken Levine tweets he got roofed and shitstorm ensures.
What does roofed mean?
Roofied.
Oh, I see.
Date rape.
Yeah, I know, but wait.
Hang on, I don't understand.
No,
because
that puts you to sleep.
Elaborate?
How did they tweet about it?
If I look tired at my last round of interviews, is because I was roofied boy at Jeff Gerstmann.
Dude, oh, imagine so having sex with Ken Levine and Jeff Gerstmann.
What are these?
Who's
what
Jeff
are that?
Gerstmann?
Hot.
What does that cause a shitstorm if it was a joke?
Because
I don't know.
You trivializing don't rape culture? I don't know.
Oh,
you don't joke about rape at all.
Yeah.
You fucking misogynists.
Agent of the patriarchy.
Check your privilege.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. I would really not like to talk about misogyny or misandry at any point during this podcast. Because I am literally, that is like, I'm so sick of it. After all this shitstorm with the lady who got two people fired and then got herself fired for causing a massive shitstorm over two guys making lame jokes about dongles at a Python conference.
What?
Feminism.
Can we, Since just instead of discussing misandry and misogyny, can we discuss misanthropy?
I think
perfect.
Well, this is already quite a misanthropic podcast, let's be honest.
No,
let's
make it a little bit more explicit.
Today
though.
Is positive edition.
Nah.
Oh god, no.
Yes.
I don't hate people just play video games.
Oh my god.
How do we stay positive?
We're
a video game.
Video games we like and video games we play and news that's been good.
Like the DuckTales Looting Master? What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I don't care about.
No, me really,
you have no soul.
I have never played DuckTales.
No soul.
And I never
no
watched DuckTales either, because Disney cartoons suck
Juju.
Ass.
Huh? Wait, whoa.
No
Juju,
wonder
too
you
far.
Just like shit.
Too far.
No, I agree, actually.
Well, yeah, Happy Man, you hate everything.
No, well, I play DuckTales. I play DuckTales on NES all the time. Why should I buy this one? It's just a remake.
Because it's so pretty.
It's got a lot of new content.
Oh,
like
I see.
Entirely new levels and stuff.
Oh, I thought it was just a remake. That might be better, actually.
Maybe an option to change the music to an identical version from the original. Because if there isn't, if I don't have my moon...
No, it's not the
music.
Are you kidding me?
We'll talk about this later in the podcast, but the music is being remastered by Jake Kaufman. And if you've ever heard any video game music he's ever done, he's fucking incredible. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. Acceptable. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I grumped out pretty hard last podcast. I did try to not be, so...
You're literally, like, the grumpiest person in the world. Hello, Ramal. Like, at one point we were talking about DMC, and you're just like, oh, I fucking hope we never talk about DMC again. I'm so sick of that.
Oh, that
and
was,
then another
yeah,
point,
several times.
We were talking about, like, Assassin's Creed, and you're like, God, I fucking hate Assassin's Creed. So
I do.
Shut up about Assassin's Creed.
But... Yeah, I should try to stay positive this time.
Yeah, this
even
is
though,
the positive
part.
Even though all of my news are negative, pretty much, but I'll try to like be lighthearted about them.
I think this is the most that we're getting, actually. I asked Dalby if he wanted to join, and he said no, so I called him whore.
Dodds is coming in, and we might have a lovely fella from Gathio Party.
Yeah, oh, Sean, what do you... Sean, what do you think? Ooh. People don't want to join you? Jeez, you gotta sugarcoat them.
You gotta come up and breathe in their ear and challenge them to a game of Boggle.
Boggle,
no,
yes.
No, 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 no. I love them hard and hate them hard. That's the only way to go.
Are you people enjoying the Gathio Party interlinkings?
Dear God, yes.
We
yes,
should have
yes.
some more Gathio. Yeah, there's someone at Gathio Party now that you have a man crush on, and they have a man crush on you, I remember.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I ship you two.
I talked to him on Steam a couple of times, and we shared both our love and hate for different fighting games, so we've been talking there, so. And I've challenged him to Garou, but he still hasn't...
Are you sharpening a knife in the background?
He does this. He's suspicious.
This time I was just feeling the side of my computer.
Okay, that's normal.
Are you crocheting a little voodoo figurine of one of us? I only touch my computer when I'm angry. I don't even, like, stroke my computer sexually or anything.
I hit my computer a lot. Especially recently, when it's like, been leaking memory like crazy and, like, freezing like crazy. So I've just been hitting it frustratingly. Also, hello, Evil-Agram. Mm-hmm.
Wow, we've got, like, 90 people here. 3 minutes to go. Oh my god, I'm so excited!
We got a full house!
In all honesty, this is the one thing that I've been looking forward to the entire day.
Hey, just got my thing working.
The house is full here at Podcast Mania.
I should really start using your introduction, like, live from Singapore.
Oh yeah, live from Singapore. But we need to be live from somewhere else this time.
Live from Abu Dhabi. That's where you want to be.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I don't want to be in Abu Dhabi.
Rwanda. Yeah, you do.
I don't want to be in Rwanda.
Okay, I know where we're going to be live from.
Your mom? But,
no, I'll tell it when we start.
Don't keep me in suspense.
I'm so confused that on what's going on.
I thought you were going to say I'm so comfy just then.
I don't think I'm with it this afternoon. I've been playing Civ for too long.
We started playing Civ at 12. I'll talk about Civ on the. We've got a lot to say about Civ 5. Yeah. It was £4 on Steam recently.
Brave New World.
But
yeah, that's coming out as well.
Like yeah, he's been playing Civ basically since 12 or 1, maybe since 1.
Civ is the ultimate time waster. So
Time passes so fast, Jesus Christ.
It does.
It's amazing.
Who's your favorite leader in Civ?
Right now I'm rocking Russia because I'm highly economic and expansionist.
Elizabeth because I like boats.
He likes boats.
I'm gonna say Nebuchadnezzar because he's big pimping, man.
Because he's DLC, you mean?
Yeah, that too. But like, he's really cool. I like him. He's sitting around a cigarette of green fire around for some reason. He throws his goblet like Dracula.
You pick leaders based on how cool they are, basically.
Yeah,
you pick leaders based on how, like, Nosferatu they happen to be.
Happy man, you race traitor.
What?
Funny story. Lincoln is actually the best for using slavery.
Although only for economic reasons. Oh, there we go. Right, has event starting. God. I'm counting that as a reason to begin.